ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धरभवार्णवात्। श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथा मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे। मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशवा। भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते कुरुष्व देवेशा नाथस्त्वं नो यदप्रभो। नामसङ्कीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परं। जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादितरदश्चार्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वराड् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया। तेजोवारिमृतं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहगं सत्यं परं धीमहि। धर्मप्रोज्झितकैदवोत्रपरमो निर्मत्सराणं सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तुशिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं। श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणात्। निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद्भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः। चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमः। यं प्रव्रजन्तं अनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकातरमज्जुहावां पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि। यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितितीर्षदां तमोन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेन् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदातृदाननेन्दोः। मम वाचि विजृम्भदा मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि कापि। नमाओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः। वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णशा यासां हरिगतोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः। पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदगीसरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि। कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोऽयं कुमारका वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदां पुरतो मम। मूगं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयदे गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः। श्रीमदिराधिकायै नमः। सर्वत्र गोविन्दनामसङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द। ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാച യോ വിദ്യാശ്രുതസമ്പന്നം ആത്മവാനാനുമാനികാഹം മായാമാത്രമിതം ജ്ഞാത്വാ ജ്ഞാനം ച മൈ സന്യസേ. That first verse in the 19th chapter, Krishna says to Uddhava, Yo vidya shruta sampannam atmavan anumanikaha. No anumanam, in other words, anumanika, atmavan. Atmavan, anumanikam, they are two different things. Yesterday we saw that in the Upanishads, while talking from Mandukyam, Mandukya Upanishads mentions that Danur grihitva Upanishadam mahastram sharam upasi upasanishadam sanghayitam ayasya tad bhagavadena chedasa lakshyam tadeva aksharam saumya vidhim pranavo dhanu sharo hyatma bahvam tal lakshubha uchyade apramatena vedhavyam sharavatanmayo bhaved. We saw yesterday that the apramatena vedhavyam, Upanishad says, isn't it? What is that apramatena vedhavyam? That pramadam has to go first from inside. Pramadam, we saw yesterday, we talked about what pramadam means. Pramadam means that first thing, what has come with us from our previous life, what we brought with us, the vasanas that has come with us from our previous life. Secondly, due to those vasanas from previous life, in this life we engage in certain vyavaharam, business. What we do in this world is controlled very much by the vasanas from previous life. It is no one else to blame for that, because our vasanas from previous life is following through. So based on the vasanas from previous life, in this life we engage in certain activities. Whichever way our life is going is based on that vasana. Thirdly, due to our activities in this life, we create further vasanas from our actions in this life. You can see how complex the whole thing is, that it is, it becomes a whirlpool. They consider like a whirlpool. So this will, these actions, what we perform in this life, it will have its reactions again. And that will create another samskaram in every one of us. And that is what is called this pramadam. Pramadam means this, that previous vasanas, life from past life, actions due to that in this life, and the vasanas that are created by the actions in this life. All these combined together is called pramadam. Apramatena vedhavyam, Upanishad says, unless this pramadam goes away, spiritual life will not go move further, will not move further. So you can see sometimes, when you walk into a house, sometimes you will observe this. Somebody is watching television. You walked into the house, they may not even notice you because they are so absorbed in the television. They won't notice that you are coming, and they won't even look at you. They'll just look at the television. They don't give any notice of, take any notice of you. Similarly, even if somebody is doing deity worship at home, the person who is watching the television, he won't be knowing that deity worship is going on in the house. Rather, he'll be absorbed in the television. People are like that. You will observe this in many, many big houses. And somebody is doing deity worship, somebody is watching television in the same house. So this is how things are. It happens like that. So similarly, this what we see now in this world is the television that the mind is showing to us. The world is nothing but a television that the mind is showing to us. This is what this world is. That's what Krishna is saying here, that maya matram idam jnatva. To know that is difficult, isn't it? Just like at home, somebody is watching television, somebody is doing deity worship, and you are not able to recognize that person is not interested in the deity worship, and the person who is doing the deity worship is not interested in the television either. And the two things are going on in the same house. So similarly, maya matram idam jnatva. Krishna is saying that the mind is showing so many television serials here, and we keep on watching this television, what is going on, and therefore attention is not falling on the soul. Attention is not falling on the soul. That is the problem. That is what that pramadam brings. Maya matram idam jnatva. In other words, even if your mind is absorbed in the world, even because satyam, what Krishna says in the Bhagavadam, is even if you go and sit in a satsangam, if the mind is not there, it is not going to have any effect from there. In effect, there will be no benefit. You won't be able to have a shravanam. Shravanam is not possible. Shravana, proper shravanam, hearing, is not possible because of that. Even if you through shravanam, even if we have understood something, again when we go into family affairs and engage in vyavaharam there, that these waves which are coming from the vyavaharam will completely blast you off from spiritual life. Just like it's like a tsunami. When tsunami comes, big tsunami is coming, and there is a big tree. If you think that you will hold on to the tree, do you feel secure? No. Tsunami will take the tree as well with it, isn't it? Tsunami is so powerful that it is something like that. In the vyavaharam, when that comes, that it will drag you out of your spiritual consciousness and take you away from this state of Krishna consciousness, and you'll completely fall in, get victimized by that. So tsunami will take you away. In the same way, similarly, this prarabdham and that karmam, that will completely wipe us out from here. Prarabdham is like a tsunami. When it comes, any moment it can wipe you out from you. You may have some plan in your mind that you want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, everything. But if prarabdham is not favorable, it will come and it will create some problem that you won't be able to do it. It will create that situation. That is the strength of that prarabdham. So, in order to keep that prarabdham under check, therefore, what is necessary is Krishna's mercy, Krishna's grace. And also, a little satsangam will help. And the mercy of the spiritual master, Guru Kripa, Satsangam, Ishvara Prasadam, all these things are necessary for engaging in spiritual life. So, so upasana or any sadhana what we perform is dependent on all these things. It's not independent. Sometimes we think that everything is independent. For example, many people think that, oh, now I am taking initiation, I am doing my sadhana completely independent. I'm independent. No, you are never independent. Any sadhana that you execute is dependent on Krishna's mercy, spiritual master's mercy, and also on the satsangam that you have with the devotees. So therefore, without crossing over this boundary, that means without upsetting the stage, we have to keep this prarabdha karmam under check. I know it will attack any time. How it will attack, very difficult to say. How prarabdham will attack us. And keeping that prarabdham always in our calculations. In other words, in our planning, prarabdham you have to take into account. Normally when we plan, we don't take prarabdham into account because we don't know about it, isn't it? We make so many plans, and when all the plans are failing, then you start thinking why it has happened. The reason is that there is a allowance you have to make for prarabdham. Prarabdham will come and completely change the whole situation. So keeping that prarabdham under control, you have to escape from here, not to come back again. That is the secret behind it. Prarabdham is a very powerful factor. You will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam all over mentioned about prarabdham, how prarabdham comes. So without slipping at that time, you have to know that how to free yourself from this entangled situation we are in today. how to free ourselves from this situation. Because sometimes you may hear things and you may put that on a CD and you will hear about everything continuously. But at the same time, what will happen is that you will hear that and you will spoil your brain by hearing like this all the time. So in order that all these benefit, if you have to derive from all these things, satsangam is necessary and silence is necessary and seclusion is necessary. Ekandam. Krishna mentions that most of the knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavatam is realized when one has that reflection on that. Nididhyasravanam, shravanam, mananam and nididhyasanam. So mananam is an essential thing. Most of the people, what they do, they just hear and then they get it downloaded from webs, a lot of these classes, and then they keep on hearing this. No reflection at all. That is no good. Because that will not help. That will eventually, you will lose all your power of discrimination in that way. You may not have that your own. You cannot say that you have your own realization from that. So where in life, when situations comes, when distress comes, when problem comes, when distress otherwise disturbs us, at that time we have to know how to apply this knowledge in that situation. Otherwise it is no use. Distress will come, isn't it? One day it is in the waiting. It's only a time when it comes. So when that distress comes, how to apply this knowledge of Krishna consciousness at that situation, that we have to learn. Every individual has to develop it himself. There is no other way. Because simply hearing, it won't get you the freedom from that. So, this has to be known, because the reason is, every individual in this world is a Krishna's new creation. Every one of us. We are so separate, because in Krishna's creation, you can see there is no imitation, isn't it? There is no imitation. So, one cannot live looking into somebody else's life. You cannot live a life looking into my life, and I cannot live a life looking into your life. That is not possible. Why? Because our subtle body, our desires, our vasanas are all different. And each life in this world is an independent entity. Is an independent entity. So, one person, one among you, cannot look at somebody else's life and live in this world. That is not possible. That is what is called Maya. That's what is called Maya. Maya's special power, that is. If you start thinking that I will look at someone else and live that life on your own, that's not possible. Why is that? Because that person has come with a different vasanas in him, different prarabdha karma of him. Because of that, his activities will be different. You have come with different vasanas and different prarabdham, therefore your activities will be different. You won't be able to look at another person and make your life based on that. You have to make your own life with this understanding behind what Krishna is talking about. That you can see in the creation, everyone is independent, isn't it? Each person is created differently. They all have different nature, different svabhavam, prakriti, in other words, different vasanas, everything different. And this creation in this way is called Maya. See that? Maya's power, that is what Maya does. Maya can do this. It's an amazing creation, is it not? When you think about it, each one of us created differently and each one of us are acting differently. No two people acting the same way. Everyone makes their own mind and vasanas and accordingly they act. So Krishna is saying here, seeing this in this world, one should come to understand Maya Matram Idam Yatva. That is that word. Krishna is saying there, Yo Vidya Shruta Sambannam Almavan Nanumanigaha Maya Matram Idam Yatva Jnanam Cha Maisanyasen. That is that verse is saying. Krishna is explaining to us what Maya means. Maya's nature. Maya, how would you define Maya? Difficult thing to, most difficult thing to define in this world is Maya.
Maya, basically you can say, generally they'll say, one will not be similar to the another one. One will not be similar to the other one. That is the reason, if someone has shown you a path, you cannot go in that path. You cannot walk in that same road. That's not possible. This is why we have so much difficulty in spiritual life. People think that everyone will become, Prabhupada has shown us a way, and we'll all become like Prabhupada. That won't happen. Prabhupada has come, Prabhupada has gone. You have come, you have to go in your own way. Prabhupada also gives the example like this, that group of birds are flying in the sky. They're all flying together, but individually you have to fly in that group. Is it not? Because I'm in a group doesn't mean I'm taken care of. It's not. Suppose you drop down, one has gone, the others will go. The other birds will fly, is it not? So to believe that a group is going to give us strength is an illusion. That is Maya. Thinking that a group is going to make me strong in spiritual life, that is Maya. That is why, because of this reason only, it is such an important thing in Vedic philosophy, all other religious processes in this world believe in grouping together. That is why every year they take the census, how many people have become Christians, how many people have become Muslims, how many people have become whatever religions they are talking about, and increasing the number they give, because they have this misunderstanding in them. What? That if I have a large number, that means we are all in it together and we'll make it. You don't. It doesn't work like that. That is because they don't understand how Maya works. Maya works in a different way. Maya will create so many things and put you on the spot there. Now you carry on whichever way you like it. So that is why, because of this reason, many rishis, they don't accept smriti. You understand what means? We have got shruti and then we have got smriti, isn't it? Shruti is what has come from Krishna, through the rishis. We have received that, Vedam, in other words. Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Atharvanavedam, Upanishads, everything is called Shruti. Then subsequently, some great personalities like Swayambhuva Manu, Parashara Maharshi, and some of them has written Smriti. What does mean Smriti mean? Smriti means, based on Shruti, how to live in this world. They have formulated certain rules, regulations, everything for us to live in this world, to follow. Based on the Shruti, they have interpreted and given us certain injunctions or instructions. How to, like Swayambhuva Manusmriti. Some rishis, they don't even accept Manusmriti. They won't accept Manusmriti. Why? For this reason. Because their opinion is that you can't make everyone to follow one set of rules. One set of rules. You can't make everyone to follow one set of rules. If it is like that, we will be like robots, isn't it? We'll be like robots. Robots can do, we can't do. That is the difference between robots and us. We are independent. We are, each and every one of us, have our own mind, our own vasanas, our own nature, and that you can't change easily. That you can't change easily. Therefore, whatever smriti it is, whether it is Manusmriti, whether it is Parashara Smriti, or whether it is Yajnavalkya Smriti, they are all sages who have written the smritis for the benefit of the human society, but still they won't accept that. Some of the rishis don't accept the smritis, because their question is, who are you to tell me that what I should do? This is their attitude, because that is their question. That how do you know that what is good for me? My vasanas are dictating from me inside. My vasanas inside me are dictating to me, this is not the right thing. But you are telling me that is the right thing. So why should I follow you, your instructions? This question will come. And therefore, we have to recognize this one thing, that in Maya's creation, every entity, every individual is independent. He will act his own way. He will go his own directions. You can't do anything about it. But then what is common to all? Common to all is spiritual knowledge, which is Upanishadam. Upanishad says like this, That knowledge is common. That you can't change. That is common to all. Whether you come to that path or not, that will depend on your prarabdham and your vasanas inside. That can vary. So, therefore, jnanam, that is why Krishna is saying here, maya matram idam jnatva jnanam cha mai sanyaseet, Krishna is saying. Knowing that it is maya, you have to take the jnanam. That is how to take the jnanam. Jnanam cha mai sanyaseet. Maya, you have to recognize it, and then at the same time, recognizing maya, you have to take the knowledge on board. That is the secret behind it. See that how that verse is giving a clarity to us in spiritual life. Normally, to make everything organizational and making it a success is difficult. Individually, you won't develop. Organization may grow big. Organization may have a lot of followers, everything. But it won't make it a success as far as you are concerned in your spiritual life. It may not be a success. If you analyze this verse, it is absolutely clear about that. Krishna is saying, maya matram idam jnatva jnanam cha mai sanyaset. Jnanam alone is the common to all. Maya is not. Maya will make everything different. So knowing that changes in maya, changes in the creation, you have to practice, take the knowledge into your life and perfect it and realize it. That's the only way to escape from here. That is what Krishna says. Then there is no, as far as the body is concerned, our bodies are all different, isn't it? Our mind is different. Each one of us, our mind works in different ways. And our prarabdham is also different. Our bodies are different, mind is different, prarabdham is different. And we have to recognize that difference. No point in thinking, this is like different nature in different in the world you can see with people, with their, depending on their mind and depending on their body. Someone is very much in the mood of, they want to be very active all the time. And someone is very happy to sit in one place and be satisfied with it. Now, if you put them together, what will happen? There will be war going on, is it not? So this problem, you have to recognize it. It is no point in trying to ignore it. Krishna is saying here, everyone's body is different, mind is different, and prarabdham is different. But it is not one person's mind, body, and prarabdham is not similar to another person's. So if you ask someone, why don't you live like that? That has no meaning. It is not possible. It is not possible. Everything will be completely new. Or each and every person in this world, they will have a different way of life, different, everything will change in his times, in his activities, in his way of thinking, and his nature, everything. So, because of this reason only, we cannot go to anybody else, we cannot go to anyone else and ask for an advice on anything. That is also difficult. We cannot go to somebody else and ask for advice about it. Because it is difficult to give advice to somebody. It is difficult to give advice to somebody. Because situations are different with everybody. Everyone's situation is different. Counseling is difficult. Temporarily you can say, to give some relief to someone, you can say something. But in reality, it is very, very difficult to help anyone in that situation. Sometimes people will say their problems at home. Once it so happened, somebody told me some lot of problems at home. And he was telling me that how everything has gone. His relationships with the family members got very sour. And so many problems at home with brothers and family members and everything. So he said, what do I do? He said, what am I supposed to say? What can anybody do about it? So only thing I told him, that don't worry about it, because you have to say something nice to him. He has come in a distressed state. I told him everything that I'm sorry to hear that, but these things do happen in life and you just have to accept it that way. Like this in a peaceful way, try to explain everything.
And then I told him that when I have problem, I'll come to you, you have to tell me the same thing. What more can I do? What more can you say to someone? This is our situation. This is the truth. Truth is like that. You can't do anything about it. All of us have our own individual burden to carry. Is it not? Nothing, nobody else can help us. We are, as much as you are in trouble, I am also in trouble. And I have to recognize that. It is no point in acting that I have no problems, only you got problems. All of us have our own problems to carry in this life. And knowing very well, that is why Krishna is saying that maya matram idam jnatva. But what is common for all of us? Jnanam cha mai sanyaset. That is common. Maya is different, jnanam is common. Maya will put us into different situations. That is due to our own prarabdham. To accept that is intelligence. To accept that is intelligence. Because when a person comes like that, he wants somebody to hear all his distress in life, isn't it? So, and nobody has made any ready-made answer to all these questions when we have problems. There's no ready-made answer to it. Except that you have to show some compassion and to, at least if it gives some relief to that person, isn't it? So, actually what we are trying here in this world is, all the time we are thinking that how to sort out here in this confusion. We are trying to sort out things and try to make it going somehow. Make it going somewhere. So you will see, if you look at your own life and you look back into your own life, you will see this happening. First thing you think, oh, if I had a good education, everything will be okay. When you are very young, you think like that, isn't it? If you get a good education, you think, oh, all the problems will be solved, because after I have a good education, you will have some proper profession or job, whatever, to earn enough money. Okay, education finished, you got a job. And then you think, oh, if you had your own house, everything will be alright. Then you got your house. And then after you had the house, then you start thinking that, okay, if I'm alone, being alone is no good. If you get married, all the problems will be solved. You had the marriage, and then the life goes on. And then the children came. And then you think, oh, now everything is happy together, family. Family life will go happily. Then the bomb blasts from somewhere inside. Something happens. So at no stage in life, Krishna is saying, that is maya matram idam jnatva means, know this maya properly, how maya works in this world. That it is important to know, on a material level, material platform, it is impossible to become free. It is not possible to become free. Because by the time all your prarabdham is finished, and by the time you get free from all your prarabdham, the body will tell you goodbye. Body will start telling you, you can't get up, you can't walk, you can't do anything, you can't stand up, you can't sleep, knees are paining, and legs are paining, everywhere you are getting hurt. So where is the freedom? You have gone through all the prarabdham by now, by end of your life, say 70, 75 years old, all the prarabdham is finished. Family life is over, children are grown up, everything is over. But then if you think that your spiritual life is going to happen there, it starts on the body then. Body starts with the problem. And once the body starts giving trouble, all your plans has changed. Again, you can't eat food properly, you can't sleep properly. So this is how much freedom we have on a material level in this world. Material freedom is this. This is the material freedom. That means throughout life you are subjected to the prarabdham, and by the end of life the body itself withers away. Body gives trouble. So where is the freedom? What freedom have we got because of that? It is not possible to become free in the material situations. So, all what you can do here is, without allowing our material life too much becoming an obstacle in cultivating spiritual knowledge, such a way you have to live in this world. That means, not allowing the material life becoming a big obstacle in cultivation of spiritual knowledge, one has to live in this world.
And keeping that material life under check and not disturbing your progress in spiritual path is called Karma Yoga. That's called Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga means that is what sadhana, upasana, sadhana is only for this purpose. That otherwise material life will completely control your existence here. It will completely run over you and you will be bulldozed by the material life. So keeping that material life, I mean family life for most of us, under certain restrictions and not allowing that to encroach into our spiritual progress, there will be problems, but still keeping it under that check, keeping under that control is called Karma Yoga. So Karma Yoga, Upasana is all for this purpose. Everyone performing sadhana, one who is in spiritual life, who is performing sadhana, is looking for one thing all the time. What is that? Is there any way to settle down? All of us are thinking like that in this world, isn't it? Is there a way of settling down here? You can always take it that it is impossible to settle down in this world. It's never possible to settle down. Because this river, what is called Prarabdham river, that will be continuously flowing. This river flows continuously. Suppose you have settled down, it will come and lift you the whole thing and it will go. In one lot, the river will come and take you away from here. So you can see, you will not be settled. If you think a community will be settled, no. Community also won't be settled. It will not allow you. You think government is settled, government also won't be settled. You can see every 5 years they are in anxiety. Even struggling 5 years to survive there, so much arguments and discussions, everybody questioning what they have done, and they have to manipulate things in such a way that after 5 years they can come back. So it is always a problem. Nobody is settled here. Government is not settled. Community is not settled. Even on an individual basis, we are not settled here. We are not settled here. Forget about all this. Is the material nature settled? Even Prakriti is not settled, isn't it? You don't see, Prakriti is acting all the time in different ways. Sometimes people are saying why there is more rain this year, or why it's so cold this year, whereas last year was different, this year is different. So it shows that even she is not settled. Prakriti is not settled, government is not settled, society, community is not settled, and personally you are also not settled. None of us are settled here. It is not possible to be settled here. That is the message. That's all coming in that verse. Yo vidya shruta sampannam almavan anumanigaha maya matramidam jnatva jnanam cha mai sanyased. Maya matramidam jnatva, knowing very well that is the way maya works. Krishna says, keeping this into the background, you have to keep it in that understanding, jnanam cha mai sanyased. You have to develop spiritually. You have to develop spiritually. That is what Krishna is saying here. So therefore, Prakriti also is not stable. It's also changing. And everyone in this Prakriti, if you look, is in distress. Everybody is in distress. Only thing is, they are in different states, in different levels. Maya matram idam snyatva. That is what Krishna said like this. Maya means this. This is what Maya means. He says, Uddhava, Maya matram idam jnatva. Maya matram idam jnatva means, Maya means one which has no stability, which is never stable, always in a moving nature, shaking state. So you can never say that it will come to an end. It will never come to an end. This Maya will create things in such a way that it will never put you at ease anytime. Always on the toes. You will be always in a disturbed state because of this. And like you can see, when you wake up from a dream, when do you say the dream is over? Dream is over is when you wake up from the dream, isn't it? So you can't say in a dream also there is a climax sometimes, isn't it? In the dream also a climax. But it's not necessary that you will wake up at that time. It may be after some time you may wake up from that. When the movie, you are in the cinema theater or you are watching a movie on the television, you will get up when the movie is over.
Similarly, Krishna says, anadi maya suptaha. For a long period of time, we are caught up in this maya. Anadi maya suptaha. Yadha jiva prabudhyade. Jiva has to wake up from this maya first. And ajam anidram aswapnam. This is from the Yoga Vasishtam. Ajam anidram aswapnam. Ajam means he has to realize that I am not this temporary existence, temporary body here. That's not me. That waking up, ajam. Anidram, that sleep he is going through in this world, in this illusion, sleeping here all the time. Not the gross sleep, but a sleepy state throughout life. Ajam anidram. And the dream what he has got here, which is swapnam. Ajam anidram aswapnam advaidam buddhyade tatha. Then he will come to the perfection stage of Advaitam. He will come to that stage. When did this maya start? When did this maya affect us? Anadi. It has no beginning. So, you know, there is a Tarkam Shastram. Shastram called Tarkam. Tarkashastram, they are called Tarkigas. Logicians. They are called in English logicians. So, Tarkashastram says, if it has no beginning, it cannot have an end. That's their logic. If something has no beginning, it has no end. Something has no beginning, it cannot have an end. That's their logic. But Vedantam says, no, it is not like that. It has no beginning, but it has an end. This is where Tarkam and Vedantam disagree. Tarkam says that if it has some beginning, it cannot have any end. If it has no beginning. Vedantam says, no. It may not have a beginning, but it can have an end. It can have a end. Anadihi santaha. How will that happen? Because this will happen within you. The end will not happen in the world, but it has to happen within you. If you keep on looking into the world outside, it won't come to an end. The world won't come to an end. Suppose, that is the example, that if I keep on looking into my material life, thinking that one day it is all going to settle down, it's not going to happen. It will never happen. This doesn't require much of an intelligence. If we look into our own life, look into others' life, you will know that there is no time you can say, I'm going to settle down in my life. People always say like that, isn't it? Oh, now that he has finished his, parents will say, oh, he has settled down now. Everybody settled. They say like that. Who is settled here? Nobody till now can say, yes, settle down here. It is not possible. Maya doesn't allow that, to settle down like that. It's like people say when they become grandparents, they say, we're grandchildren, they are all settled down now. Children are settled, grandchildren are all settled. Now I can come to spiritual life, they say. I can take to Salsangam, Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is not buying that idea. He is not buying that. He says, he's telling us, from day one, you come here, you are being kicked around this way, that way. And that kicking will go on till the last minute. And what type of settlement are you talking about? That's what Krishna is asking us, that question. He says here, so therefore, as long as you are looking into your own material life all the time, this settlement is never going to happen. Instead of going in that direction, right in this state, wherever you are, whatever situation where Krishna has put us in, to accept it that way and be careful not to get too much disturbed over Maya. And that protection if you take, how? By realizing that this is what Krishna has given to me in this life. Wherever he has put me, I'll accept it. And he says here, through the knowledge of spiritual life, through that knowledge, Atmavan, Shruta Sambannaha, that means through vidya, through knowledge, and through upasana, how to know the tattvam. And that qualification one should cultivate. Shruta Sambannaha, and all that is required from for breaking that progress in spiritual life, for the cultivation of spiritual knowledge. And with that, what they call it as pratyabhijna. A pratyabhijna has to develop inside. Then you can escape, because our material life, after sorting it out to get into spiritual life, is never going to happen. That is not possible. We always think like that, isn't it? Suppose I have lived somewhere else, maybe things would have been better. or I could have been in a better situation somewhere else, it may happen different. When you go there, your prarabdham has not left you. It will come in another form there and give you trouble. So sometimes people does not understand that. That is why spiritual life is always where you live. You have to practice it. Wherever it is, whatever situation Krishna has put us in, accept it that way. Taking it as prarabdham and keeping that prarabdham within limits, as once you can control that, always fearful of prarabdham, one should cultivate spiritual life. Otherwise it will not work. Like you can see, sometimes people think that if I buy a flat in Vrindavan or Mayapur, and I'll old age after my retirement, my pension will be there, so I'll have a comfortable life when I go to live in the flat there. There is a steady income, and the flat is there, and then I have the association of the devotees, everything. Both material side is good, spiritual side is good, everything is good. But when you go there, your body is already gone by then. It's giving you all sorts of... Then after going there, what happens? You are inquiring which is the best hospital nearby. So to find out which is the best hospital, do you have to go to Mayapur or Vrindavan? Could you not do the same thing here? So this is the way Maya works. Maya won't allow you. This all Maya in the head. Thinking that if I buy the... And temples are also saying, we have got properties to sell in Vrindavan, buy them now when you got money. And they put you into this illusion, thinking that everything will be fine once you go there. As though you are entering Vaikuntham there. But no, it is not. There is no Vaikuntham there also. You go there, there is other problems waiting there for you. But it may not be the same problem what you have here. So all this illusion has to go. That is what Krishna is saying here. That today you have time, today you have health. And today, Krishna has given you some facility, utilize it. That's all you can do. To think that I will switch to another place and another time or another arrangement and everything is going to be perfect, Krishna says it may not work. It may not work. Because prarabdham is too powerful. You can't fight against that. If a personality like Jadabharata had to become a deer, imagine our situation. He didn't want to become a deer, did he? Jadabharata didn't want to become a deer. But he had no choice. He gave up all his comfortable palace and government arrangements, everything, all facilities what he had. Just like he has done exactly the same thing what we are trying to do today in a smaller scale. He thought, I'll give up my palace and all the facilities there. I'll go to this Gandaki River in Nepal. And on the river bank I'll live there, practice spiritual life. What happened? His prarabdham came in the form of the deer and took him away from there. That's what we have to learn from that. So, knowing very well all these things, to think that I'll make alternative arrangements now for my spiritual life, it may not happen. Today, we have a body reasonably healthy. It may not be 100%, but somewhat healthy. Some consciousness, some awareness, and some energy, mind, intelligence in a reasonable order. Krishna is saying to us, knowing very well the impact of mind, this is internal understanding. Internalization means this. Not to look into the world and making decisions, but looking into the reality and making decisions. You don't look into the world and make decisions. Why? How do we make decisions based on the world? Somebody else is doing it, I will also do the same thing. That is not the answer. Let them do what they want, those who want to do that. If they are in that understanding, let them continue doing that. Nobody has done any successful spiritual life by planning it. Planning is not possible. Those who have become successful in spiritually are those who, whichever situation they have put into, they practice there, in that situation, and cultivating the knowledge of the self within that situation and making it a success in that way. That's the only way it will work. Otherwise it is not possible. So if you keep on looking into the world outside, Krishna says here that continuously what is necessary for cultivation of spiritual knowledge. What is that? Shastram. Help of the Shastram. Taking advantage of the Shastram, association in Salsangam and taking the benefit of that. And this is required. And by doing that, all that's indications from the Shastram, if you take it on board, and eventually you will see there that it will develop a certain certain realization inside, and that is called pratyabhijna. Remember this word? Pratyabhijna we spoken before. So pratyabhijna comes from that, knowing very well that all my spiritual life has to be centered around this antaryami inside. And antaryami will give the right direction in my life, what I have to do every moment. All this understanding has to come within. Normally we don't think like that, do we? What do we think? Everybody else, what is he doing? Will also join the group. And there we'll see if we can become a leader there. This kind of things happens to us. That is what Krishna says here, that those who get this understanding through thought power, vijaram process, and there are people who have succeeded in spiritual life like that, and those who have come to that through yoga process, that means pranayamam, pratyaha, and yamam, niyamam, asanam, pranayamam, through that process to the samadhis level. So those who have come to that through the jnana margam, and those who have come to it through the yoga margam, two people. And there are others that who have come through the yoga margam, but later on switched on to jnana margam. Switched on to jnana margam means that yoga margam has its own limitations. Even after, when you fall away from the samadhi state, they find a lack of fulfillment inside. As long as they are in the samadhi state, it is fine, in the yoga margam. Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, those who have perfected that, they will reach a state of samadhi, but that samadhi state is not permanent. There's a likelihood of falling from that. So therefore, what they do, they have come through that yoga margam, but then because they have good control on the body and the mind, jnana margam becomes very easily accessible for them. Jnana margam becomes a lot easier for them, and therefore they take to the vijara margam, or in other words, jnana margam later. So these three categories you will find in this world. Those who have come through jnana margam, purely through jnana margam, that is very fortunate people, very few you will see there, who come through jnana margam. And then those who have come through yoga margam only, who have reached a higher state. And then there are a third group who have come through yoga margam and then they become perfect through jnana margam. Perfect through jnana margam. So generally, jnana margam means it is the process of inquiry through vijaram, isn't it? Through thoughts. But jnana margam will always come mixed with yoga margam. That is also there. Jnana margam is combined with yoga margam. For example, after hearing, and Krishna says, shodavyaha mandavyaha nididhyasidavyaha shruta sambannaha. Shruta sambanna means that, you see that Krishna says, yo vidya shruta sambannam. Shruta sambanna means that one of our sambat means wealth, is shruti. Shruti is our wealth. So after hearing Shravanam process, Krishna is saying, Shodavyaha Mandavyaha Nididhyasidavyaha. In other words, after you are heard, one who has heard has to sit alone. All what you have heard, you have to continuously churn it inside. That is called mananam, isn't it? What you heard, you have to give some time. We feel that we have allotted a lot of time for spiritual life. 4 hours on a Saturday we have given, 4 hours on a Sunday we have given. How much more can we give to spiritual life? We are thinking like that, isn't it? That itself is a lot. Because 8 hours a week is a lot for spiritual life. 8 hours praying, people say. 5 minutes is more than enough. Because I'm so friendly with my God, 5 minutes if I say something. Some people are like that. They haven't got much time. They're so busy in life. So we think that this 8 hours is a lot, isn't it? So that is not how it works. The way it works is that spiritual life is our real life. Material life is something to keep the body in this world. So if you have that proper conviction inside, then you know that all what you are hearing from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam will give you enough time to reflect on it, to reflect on all these things what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and to quietly sit and to reflect in silence, and alone. That is important. That is the way we understand Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise it is difficult. It is not a subject that you can learn like other subjects. It's not to be taught or to be learned in that way. It all depends on our own effort. Our own effort means that you have to find the time and you have to find the silence. You have to find that solitude to do it on your own. There may be so many interruptions from the world, but you have to know where to keep them away. If there is so busy in the life during the day, then you don't have to sleep at night. When everybody is sleeping, you have to wake up and reflect on this, all what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. So that is what Krishna is saying here, that when after you have performed that mananam, slowly the mind becomes accepting that, what you have heard. Mind doesn't accept anything straight away. Only after mananam, mind starts accepting things. And when mind has accepted that, then the knowledge changes. In the sense, when you have accepted it with intellectual level, while hearing first time, what you have accepted takes a different shape when the mind has accepted it. That you will know it. When you have analyzed the things properly, and the mind is accepting something within yourself, then you will know that it has become the Swarupa Nishtha is slowly developing inside. That means the mind will give you an indication that this knowledge is the knowledge what I was looking for. This is what I really need for myself. And Krishna is saying here, finally you have to give up that also. That is most interesting here. You see that? Jnanam cha mai sanyaset. That jnanam also you have to give up. Why? Why is that? That question will come. Isn't it? All along you are struggling to get this knowledge, and then through the mind you have analyzed and slowly accepted it, because the nature of spiritual knowledge, Brahma Vidya, is once you have properly accepted it, it does not remain as a knowledge anymore. It is you then. You are that. You are not separate from that. So therefore, that is why Krishna is saying there, Jnanam cha mai sanyaset. It is not anymore a jnanam, it has become a jnanam. It has become you. You have become that, in other words. So that is why that this spiritual progress in life, initially you have to fight against all the influences of Maya and Prarabdham and all that. But suppose you have followed this process, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, and through Mananam you have come to accept everything on a much deeper level. It has. But eventually you will lose your own identity, you becomes that knowledge. It becomes that knowledge. So how that Krishna says here sannyasam, he uses the word sannyasam there, isn't it? Sannyasam means you have given up that knowledge also. It's not anymore a knowledge for you. Not in your mind, not in your brain. Not in your mind, not in your brain. Because after giving up that knowledge, what has happened is you have become silent. You have become silent. Because knowledge is also an impurity. Knowledge is also an impurity. Because as long as it is in the platform of knowledge, it will remain as a block. It will remain as a block. Advanced personalities, you can see this in their life. Great souls, if you look at them, you will notice in them, they are not talking anymore in terms of knowledge. They have become that. They have become that. Because ultimately, knowledge is also a chittavritti. When it is in the platform of knowledge, it is a chittavritti it is. It becomes a chittavritti. So suppose you have come to, say for example, you have come to Watford Junction Station and you have asked them, somebody, what's the way to come to this place, to this center point? You ask to someone, somebody explain to you, take this road, this street, you go this way, that way, and come, finally you'll get here. Explain to you like that. But instead, somebody tells you, look, I'm going there, come with me, I'm going to the same place. And then it makes a lot easier for you, isn't it? You don't have to follow any directions. You just come with him and you get here, isn't it? So, on the other hand, if somebody has brought you here by car,
You didn't know anything about the road. You didn't take notice of the road. Somebody was coming here, he brought you by car here, and you got here. And next day if you want to come, you don't know the road, because you haven't taken any notice of it. So, so next time if you want to come, you don't know the road. Whereas, if you have found out the route yourself, and you have walked here, then you got it. Is it not? If you have done it yourself, you will know how to get here. You don't need the help of anyone after that. So, similarly, those who come through the process of inquiry, vichara margam, or through the process of self-inquiry, or the knowledge, for them, then such a person, for him to go back to the self again and again, will not be very difficult. Will not be very difficult. Like self-inquiry, when it begins, initially you will get a lot of response from inside, from the Antaryami, will give you directions at some time. But those who have practiced that process, they will know the route, how to get there. So, therefore, there is another side to it also. We depend on Krishna's grace sometimes. That is called Kripa, isn't it? Those who have become Kripa Siddha, or who become perfect through Kripa Siddha, if they have, they also have to do some work after that. They have got there by Kripa Siddha, Kripa. But if they have not come through this process of self-inquiry, and if they don't have the power behind them of the Purva Samskaram, sometimes people will find it difficult. Although they have Krishna's grace, Kripa was there. And some people you can see, when they hear what Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, or Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, when they hear that, they get a lot of clarity. They get a lot of clarity. While hearing that, they get the lot of clarity. And some others are hearing it through, say, through the websites or CDs or through the books or whatever. They're hearing that and they feeling happy, comfortable, because spiritual knowledge does give you clarity. There is no question about that. It gives you clarity, isn't it? And then you see them that they are able to express themselves also after hearing about that. But after some time you see the very same people gets disturbed. Those who have spoken and those who have seems to have understood, they seems to be find disturbed in life. Reason is that they did not inquire themselves and reach the place. They depended too much on the CDs, too much on the webs, and too much on other things. This is a big disadvantage, you know that. You see, this Jnana Margam, Vichara Margam, or all what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava or to Arjuna, if all these things, if we ourselves don't take it and go through that process, what Krishna has specified, instead we made it easier. Sometimes by Krishna's grace it happens. Sometimes we hear through the CDs or webs or whatever it is, and continuously hearing, you will get some clarity inside, but it has not sunk deep down inside. In that case, what will happen is, when some distress comes or disturbance comes, you lose the whole balance again, because it was always on the surface. Everything was on the surface. And such people, so everything gets disturbed. The reason is that they did not do it on their own. They did not find the way on their own and find out. Just like I mentioned this example, if you come to center point, if you have found out the way yourself and you got here, you can come again, second time, it's not a problem. But suppose you are dependent on someone to come, somebody brought you here all the time, you will have never taken notice. Then if you want to come on your own, you have to find out again how to get here. Isn't it? Similarly, going back to that self-realization, of realizing the self, if you yourself have chalked out your route properly, even if you fall away from that, you know how to go back again. You may not need another help from outside. You don't need any help from outside. Whereas in the case of even those who have got Krishna's grace, suppose Krishna has given you enough mercy that you heard everything and you have got it also. But still, if you on your own has not cultivated self-inquiry, it is possible that if ever it gets disturbed, you are in trouble. You are in
trouble. It works in that way also. That is the... So, therefore, because you did not come on your own, you have a problem. Just like, suppose, sometimes you have taken somebody with you without passport and visa, and you have taken somewhere. And it is very much similar to that. Krishna says here, Vidya Shruta Sambannaha, Vidya Shruta Sambannaha. Just like when you have to travel, you have the certain documents to carry with you, isn't it? Passports, visas and all that. Suppose somebody tells you, you landed in an airport somewhere, you had no proper passport, you had no visa also, and somehow the immigration allowed you to get in, and then you have a problem there, is it not? You are not on the path properly, you have arrived there, so you have difficulties there. So similar situation is here also. Krishna says here, Vidya Shruta Sambannaha. That is why he is using that word, Vidya Shruta Sambannaha. That means, through upasana and through sadhana, your body, your mind, your intelligence, everything should be purified with the knowledge of the self. With the knowledge of the self. Now after that, knowing what is to be known and completely absorbing in mananam process or reflection on that, and then repeatedly doing that and staying in that state, which is called nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam is to be performed. And finally, experiencing Atma in that way and to be situated as Atma. To be situated as Atma. That is what is expected from us. To be situated as Atma. To be seated on the platform of the soul. So, you can see how Jnanamargam is also very... It needs time. That is the most important thing. It needs time. It needs also disconnection from the world. These verses are all related to Jnanamargam, Jnanavijayaram. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, in other words, ultimately, Krishna is saying that once you come to the platform of the soul, you have even given up this knowledge, what you were carrying all along with you. In other words, any time while in this body, you can use your knowledge of the soul when it is required. That stage has to come. That means, while living in this world, till the prarabdham is finished, the body won't go. Is it not? Body won't leave you till the prarabdham is over. Sometimes you can see this. When we get older, people go through so much bodily problems, but they won't leave the body. They won't leave the body. And the doctors will come up with various alternative ideas. We can do this, we can do that. They know very well the person is on his way out. Is on his way out. But still they will give you some hope by saying that this operation, if you do it, will be alright. Or that operation, or this medicine, that medicine. And then a lot of painkillers along with that. So a whole package they will offer. So keep us going, and they know. There's also in the NHS they have a system what they call as the Liverpool pathway. You may have heard about it, I don't know. That what does Liverpool pathway means? That already the doctors know that nothing can be done with the person. So for them, a special arrangement. I don't know how their name came, I have no idea, but that's what it means, that the person is on his way out. And government and the doctors feel that there's nothing can be done. What do you do then? Make the life as comfortable as possible for that person, as much as you can do. That's all you can do, isn't it? So there is a discussion going on about that among the top leaders. What is that right, that way to go, or something should be done? Who makes the decision? Can the doctor? And sometimes they put this in the Liverpool pathway, and then the person comes back. So what do you do? It is a very awkward situation, this thing called a death. Till you leave this body, you cannot do anything about it. Once it's gone, finished. But till it goes away, it will give you all sorts of crises in life. And it will put you into a very awkward situation. And doctors are looking at each other when someone comes back again into life. He says, then they will say, oh, it's because of that medicine what we are given to them. Something they'll find out. Some excuse for that. In the medical journals and sometimes in the news also, these sorts of things are discussed. where even NHS is baffled by the whole thing. What can they do? They also don't know what to do. Because the soul inside is making his own independent decisions. He doesn't consult NHS, does he? He doesn't consult NHS when it makes a decision. It has its own route. It will go in that. His prarabdham and the Antaryami's decision is different. They don't have to consult anybody. It takes its own independence. That is what Krishna is saying here. Maya matram idam yatva. Everything is independent as far as soul is concerned. He makes independent decisions. What we are doing from outside is only very limited you can do about it. So that is why Krishna says here that Atmavan, see that word, Atmavan is not like that. Atmavan is fully fixed within himself. He wouldn't allow, because he knows he is Atma, that realization is very much in him, therefore he doesn't have any disturbance. He is not disturbed over the doctors or the medicines or the NHS or some friends or relatives. So much complications at the time of death, isn't it? Relatives discussing, say if you have 5 or 6 brothers or sisters, they'll all come at that time to say goodbye to you. They'll all be standing around. A doctor will come with some proposal. And the relatives are discussing each other, what should we do? One has one opinion, exactly opposite the other person has the opinion. And they are discussing, and the person is leaving the body here. What's the solution? And it puts you in a very awkward state, and you don't know what is the right thing to do. Nobody knows what's the right. Doctor doesn't know, relatives don't know, you also don't know what is to be done. Because Krishna is saying here that Atmajnanam, the knowledge of the soul, gives you a relief from all these things. Because if you know that, you have realized the truth here, in this body, before leaving this body, then it cannot create any disturbance at that time. Whatever relatives want to decide, they can decide. NHS wants to decide, they can decide. Doctors want to decide, they can decide. It doesn't matter. That is what he is saying. And at that stage, jnanam cha mai sanyaset, that knowledge also you have given up, you have become that, Atmavan. You have become Atmavan. Then there is no more body for you. That is what Krishna has spoken before also, isn't it? Dehastovi, no dehasta. That stage has to come somehow. Otherwise, there is no escape from here. All other problems will remain till we leave this body. After that, we don't know what will happen. This is the only solution Krishna has given to us in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Become Atmavan. Become Atmavan. That is the solution to the real and genuine solution to the problem. No other solution to this problem here. If you make it, or if it happens, then you have made it. Otherwise, we have to accept everything what Maya gives to us. So, now the question comes that they can utilize that knowledge once they have realized it throughout the life whenever there is problems or distress from external things when it comes or internally. This knowledge will save him because knowledge will dictate from inside what is the right thing. So naturally you will not be disturbed over it. And he won't have to anymore think about it or engage in mananam or nididhyasanam after that. That is why the question will come, such a realized person, can he do things in this world? For a jnani, is it possible to do the vyavaharam in this world? That question will come. The answer to that is, one who is executing sadhana in this world, for him it is not possible. One who is executing sadhana stage, it is not possible. For a yogi also, in the yoga process when he is practicing it is not possible. Vidyarani Swamiji mentions this, jnaninam kartum shakyam, karya karya karyam, Karya Rajyadi Shasanam, he says. Jnaninam kartum shakyam, karya Rajyadi Shasanam. In other words, Vidyarani Swamiji was a famous sannyasi. He became later on the Shringeri Acharya, much later in his life. A very powerful person who wrote Panchadashi. If you see Panchadashi on the web, you can look at it. Panchadashi is three different chapters for how they discuss the self-realization process. Famous book in the Vedanta Prakarana Grantham it is called, this Panchadashi.
So Vidyarani Swamiji mentions this. Yaninam kartum shakyam karyam rajyadi shasanam. He says, for him, such a person, even knowledge is of not much use, not of much use to him. Because that person, his body is functioning in one way in this world, but he is on another level all the time. All the time. There is no knowledge separately necessary for him to do any work. For example, he will work in the garden. He will do the gardening. Body is doing various things. He may be cooking in the kitchen. He will be cooking in the kitchen. It's not disturbing him. That is, body is doing it. He is not doing it. But the knowledge is always very stable inside. Knowledge is always very stable inside. Or otherwise, like King Janaka, he was managing the kingdom, isn't it? Janaka was managing the kingdom, but inside, always in the realized state. Always in the realized state. His chittavritti, that person, that yani, his chittavritti, if it has utilized for the sake of vyavaharam, vyavaharam in this world, if it is used for that purpose, chittavritti will stop. Only when he is engaged in some vyavaharam, chittavritti will be there. But when the vyavaharam is over, chittavritti will stop there. That will be his state. Do you know what I'm saying? That in such a person, chittavritti will not be continuous. For us, chittavritti is continuous. As soon as you wake up in the morning, it starts and it switches off till you go to sushupti. If you go to sushupti. If it does not sushupti, then throughout night also it goes on. Continuous flow of thought waves, is it not? Through us, it comes through all the time. Non-stop, it is. No doubt in the vacant state and dream state it is there. But everyone is not fortunate enough to have a deep sleep, isn't it? Everybody doesn't get a deep sleep. Few people who are very fortunate may get deep sleep. And except in the deep sleep state, this chittavritti is continuous. But for a jnani who has realized it, who has become Atmavan, what happens to him? He will also have some chittavritti, but the beauty is that chittavritti will only last when that particular vyavaharam he is conducting. For example, he is engaged in some work in the garden. At that time, he may need some chittavritti. But that chittavritti will completely withdraw as soon as the work is over. Or if you are cooking in the kitchen, or if you are doing some other work, driving a car, whatever it is, chittavritti will come, but it will withdraw, stop as soon as its purpose is finished. As soon as the purpose is over. So the same example in that case also. Just like we have given this example, suppose you want to come to this center point, you have asked some person how the route is, but as soon as he got here, that's how it is, isn't it? When you come here, when you got here, then you're not thinking anymore about the route you have come. That chittavritti closes it down, isn't it? It stops there. Then that chittavritti don't come back. Only once you may ask someone how to come here, and after you have asked that question and you got your way, you got the understanding how to come here, and once you have come here, that chittavritti won't come, how to come here again, would it? It won't come back again. It stops there. Next time, when you need it, it will come back, how to get here. And when you get here, it stops again. So that is the nature of this chittavritti for a realized soul. But for us, who have no stoppage of chittavritti, what happens? When we are walking second time here, although you know, once you have become familiarized with the route, when you are coming here, you'll be thinking about other things at that time. Is it not? Other chittavrittis will come. That means chittavritti, we have no control at that time. Thought waves, in other words. So, similarly, Krishna says here, through Atmavijaram, one who has gone to the Swarupam, one who has gone to his Swarupam, and there it ends. Everything comes to an end. And that will be Akhandam. Akhandam means uninterrupted. Krishna says here, there it becomes dissolved. That chittavritti dissolves there while you touch that satyam inside, the truth inside, andaryami inside. All these topics are in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have to talk about it. This is in the Bhagavatam. All these subjects what we are discussing, you may ask, where is it mentioned? That's how generally people ask this question. Where is it mentioned in the Bhagavatam? They'll say, If you ask that, I can't answer that question. If you study this book properly with the help of those who are given us these explanations to it, and who have given us detailed commentaries and who have spoken about it, that is the way they have understood. That's all I can say. If you ask me the verse number and chapter number, I can't answer that. That's difficult. Because never to study Shastram in that way. This mind is that we are used to a very set way of studying things, isn't it? That's our greatest difficulty also in spiritual life. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and all, it's a science. And that Shastram, what it is doing, what it does is, it explains the concept of the soul in many ways possible, so that if you are fortunate enough to take it on board, you may also experience it. That's all it says. That's all Shastram can help us in that way. So here, so Krishna says that when that jnanam also goes away, finally that jnanam, it's not remaining anymore as a knowledge. And at that experience, Krishna says here that is a state of samadhi also. That is what he says, jnanam cha mai sanyaset. Jnanam cha mai sanyaset. You can see this, samadhi experience is there in the sushupti. Is it not? Is it not? Samadhi, that samadhi experience is what we have in the sushupti state. You are sleeping very comfortably in the deep sleep. Body is not there, mind is not there, intelligence is not there, ego is not there, and the world is also not there in the deep sleep state. In the deep sleep state. And everyone says when they come back from that state, I was happy. I had a good sleep. I was happy in that state. Although you didn't have any of these things. The world was not there, was it? The body was not there, the mind was not there, the intelligence was not there, the ego was not there, and the world also was not there. And still you are saying you were happy. You are saying happy. So why am I not getting that now? That experience why I had in Sushupti. What that indicates to us is that happiness is not a product of the world. Happiness is not a product of the body. Happiness is not a product of the mind or intelligence or ego. It is something totally independent of all these things. Body, mind, intelligence, ego, world. All these things have no influence on happiness. We think this. That is our ajnanam insight. Maya is making us to think like that. Because the proof of that is, as soon as you went to deep sleep state, without body, without mind, without intelligence, without ego, without the world, I felt happiness. And when I woke up, the only good thing, nobody has come out waking up and saying, I was in great distress when I was in deep sleep. Has anyone said that? Till now nobody has spoken like that. That itself is a proof that when you come out of the deep sleep, you are feeling that greatest happiness. And which is pure happiness without being touched by any distress. Isn't it? Untouched by any distress. So, why is that? In that deep sleep state, you are reporting about the happiness, what you have experienced at that state. Why did you not think that in that deep sleep state that I am spirit soul? Why that realization didn't come? Happiness was there, but I am spirit soul, that realization was not there. Is it not? Do you see the difference there? When you wake up from the deep sleep, you know you had a good sleep. Good sleep in the sense that you say that you had a good sleep. That is how we report it, because we look at the body and saying that I was sleeping at that time. And when I came out, I'm saying that it was a nice time. I didn't know anything. Not knowing anything, I was happy. You are reporting that happiness, but you didn't know that you were soul. You know that you left the body, but you didn't know that you were the soul. That experience you didn't have. What you had was only the happiness of that experience of being soul. You see now? Only the experience of that being soul you had, but you didn't know that you were the soul. So that question comes, why did you not experience being the soul at that time? Have you got that point, what I'm saying?
So that is an interesting question, isn't it? So Vedantam answers that question very nicely. It says like this, that vritti jnanam did not happen. That is what they call it, vritti jnanam. Vritti jnanam means that vritti jnanam is like this. For example, chittavritti comes, isn't it? When chittavritti comes, what happens to us? We becomes that, is it not? Suppose anger came, or greed came, envy came, or some good thoughts came inside. Immediately we identify with that thought. And that is called vritti jnanam. Similarly, when we have left the body, mind, intelligence, ego and everything, gone into that deep sleep state, why did I not feel that I am the soul? That is the question. So that is called vritti jnanam. The same vritti, like it happened with the mind, it should happen to me at that time, that vritti should tell me that I am soul. Experience of the soul in that way has to happen. That didn't happen. In other words, to be in the Swarupam, in my Swarupam. Because here, that consciously, that pratyabhijna, what it is called, this is called pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means that realization inside, what we have spoken this word pratyabhijna many times before, that pratyabhijna did not happen in the deep sleep. In the deep sleep, pratyabhijna did not happen in the deep sleep. This book I mentioned before also, Viveka Chudamani. On that Viveka Chudamani, there are so many commentaries on that, various commentaries. In them, there is one commentary by Chandrasekhara Bharati, one of the Sringeri Acharyas. He wrote a commentary on that book. Very famous commentary, so much bigger commentary than others. In his commentary, he says there, when you wake up in the morning, and if you give enough time to analyze that experience in the Sushupti state, what you went through, and if you got a clarity there, and if your ignorance in the intelligence, that coverage of the intelligence, which is covered by Ajnana Avaranam, Avaranam means covering of your intelligence by ignorance, if that has removed by proper analysis of the Sushupti state, then in the vacant state itself, you can have the experience of the soul. Chandrasekhara Bharati's life, you should read. It is something very interesting to read. A person whose body was present here, but who has never lived in this world. That was him. You can download it, Chandrasekhara Bharati, if you download from the web and read through it, how he lived in this world. Never once he was touched by the world. Such a state to live the whole life here. So many times, so many people try to induce him, to bring him to material happiness and material life in various ways. He wouldn't relent under any circumstance. Always looking for solitude, always trying to be situated in that state. Never wants to be pulled into this world under any circumstances. Such a personality he was. Personality. His own disciples who became Abhinav Vidyatirtha, who was also another realized soul. If you see that relationship between Abhinav Vidyatirtha and Chandrasekhara Bharati, you'll be amazed what is a proper relationship between a spiritual master and the disciple. You can see in them there that quality of relationship, what you see there. That the trust, the faith, the surrender, everything in that disciple and the guru's position of that gravity and that realization in that person. Amazing personalities they were. That he left this world over 60-70 years ago, but if you read through his life, you can see that how much influence from the world was coming in. He learned how not to allow that to get inside. Not allow. And always contemplating on the Sushupti state, and from there getting closer to the truth in his sadhana, upasana and everything. Sharada temple is there in Vidya Shankar temple, and Sharada Devi's temple in that ashram in Sringeri Mat. And when he goes and sits in front of Sharada Devi to do, because as the head of the mat, he has to conduct some pujas in the Sharada Devi's temple. And while he was performing, sometimes he goes into this transcendental state, and then difficult for him to even conduct the puja. That stage has come. And devotees will be waiting outside for him to finish the puja and come back. But they may have to sometime wait for hours and hours together. He will be sitting in front of Sharada Devi and completely absorbed in the truth, in that state. Very difficult for them to come to this world. Physically they are here, but spiritually they are elsewhere. They are elsewhere. That is what he is saying here. So he says here that that once that avaranam, coverage of ajnanam, goes away from inside, even in jagrat state, vacant state, it is possible. So you may wonder why I am saying all these things. Is it all going to happen to us? You may ask that question. I know it is not going to happen. Why am I saying this is that if you know that in spiritual life there is a long way to go. If you know that, you'll make it may make you a little bit more serious about it. At least it may help you in that direction. It may not happen to us in this life, because our prarabdham is a very clear indication what's going to happen to us, that we know. But this prarabdham, till it is over, but if you know the situation, what we are in, at least that will give you some impetus that spiritual life is a long journey. And people who have lived that life, spiritual life in this world, and who have shown us examples to us, make us aware that maya matram idam yatva jnanam chamai sanyaset. Maya's power is phenomenal. She can give you so many difficulties in this world. But here Krishna says here, this maya matram jnanam chamai sanyaset. So when you know that, when the jnani comes to know this, that sushupti experience is what he is hankering after to happen in the vacant state, isn't it? That sushupti experience, he knows what is the nature of happiness. At least he knows. Those who have analyzed sushupti, they know what is the real nature of happiness. At least that much understanding will come. So, and he wants that happiness in the vacant state, what he has experienced, not the other kind of happiness. A spiritually advanced person who has studied Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti states properly and who knows the Sushupti happiness is the proper happiness, he will be looking for that happiness in the vacant state, not other kinds of happiness, is it not? So you can see here, where is this happiness coming from? Where is the happiness of a jnani? Where is the priyam comes from? Where does it come from? Normally for us, our priyam stands in an object in this world, either in a person or in a particular object. Where is the jnani's priyam? That question will come. Jnani's priyam is within himself. Do you know that? Our happiness or priyam comes from something from this world. Something. Either a friend or a family member or a society or some other thing, some object in this world, that's where our happiness comes from. We all agree with that, isn't it? Our happiness is always like that. If ever we felt any happiness in this world, it's coming from some other source outside. Jnani's happiness always comes from the soul. That is the difference. Who says this? Krishna says this. Jnani nastu ahameva ishtaha swartho he ischa sammadaha. In other words, for a jnani is concerned, ahameva ishtaha. For a jnani, he likes himself. He only likes himself. It is not on a selfish way it is spoken. When he says he likes himself, swartho hedischu sammadaha, because his goal is to become happy by being himself, what he is, in his real identity. Therefore, for him, the goal and heaven and liberation is everything himself, is ultimately himself. He knows if he becomes himself, then he is liberated, he has reached the heaven, and he is also, he has reached the goal, everything is over for him, if he has become himself. In other words, when self-realization happens, he has reached the goal for him. For him, for a jnani, that is the goal. So that is why through jnanam and vijnanam, those who have perfected it, they know my swarupam. Krishna says they know my swarupam. You will see this in the Bhagavad Gita. There is a verse here. Tad buddha, tad uddhaya, tad almanam, tan nishta, talparayana, gachandi punaravartim, jnana nurdhuda kalmashaha. If you look, you'll find that verse. Tad buddhaya tadalpanam tan nishta talparayana gachandi punaravrtim jnana nurdhuta kalmashaha.
See the verse yourself and see the translation, what Krishna says.
Tal buddhaya tadalpanam tan nishta talparayana,
that verse. Krishna is saying this to us in the Bhagavad Gita, that if you ever want to be happy here, that happiness, what you are looking in the self, that is what that verse is talking about.
Tad buddhaya, tad almanam, tan nishta, tal parayana, gachandi punaravartim, jnana nirdhuta kalmashaha.
I think it is in the, probably 5th or 6th chapter.
Tad buddhaya, tad, T-A-D, tad, tad buddhaya, tad almana, tan nishta.
I don't have the Bhagavad Gita. I think so. Just a minute.
No, I have got, sorry. Tad buddhaya tad almanam tan nishta talparayana. 517. Tad buddhaya tad almana tan nishta talparayana gachandi apunaravrtim jnana nirdhuta kalmashaha. When one's intelligence, mind, faith and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge and then proceeds straight on the path of liberation.
We look word by word, you will see tad buddhaya, tad almana, tan nishta, tal parayana, gachandi, apunaravrtim, jnana nirdhuta kalmasha. That is what that verse is about.
So that is what Krishna is saying here. That exactly what that state is. So here, in other words, Krishna says, with the intelligence, the way it happens is, with the intelligence, you have got to know the tattvam of the soul. With the intelligence first. With the intelligence, you have got to know tattvam of the soul. And after knowing that, he stayed in that state without any chitavrti. First you came to know about it through the intelligence. Then, being in silence and solitude, you stayed in that state of the soul, spiritual state, without affected by anything. So, tad buddhaya is that, first one, knowing things by intelligence. Tad buddhaya means through buddhi you came to know that. Then afterwards, through silence and through solitude, you manage to keep your chitavrti coming, stopped, chitavrti stopped. That times you have become tadalpmana. First start with tadbuddhaya, then tadalpmanam. And then, when vyavaharam started afterwards, you have come, everybody has to do some vyavaharam in this world, isn't it? So even where vyavaharam was going on, you did not get disturbed. And that is called tannishtaha. See how nicely that verse is formulated based on self-realization. Purely based on self-realization, that verse is structured. First through intelligence, you have come to know the truth in an intellectual level. Then you have practiced it by being in solitude and silence, taken this Krishna's instruction seriously, churned it very well and stayed in that state. That is tadalmanaha. Then when you had to do vyavaharam in this world, you did vyavaharam, but it did not allow to disturb you in that. That is tannishtaha. Tad buddhaya, tadalmanam, tannishta. Then after all that has happened, tannishtaham, you started realizing what is the next thing to going to happen in that tannishta state. You finally realize that you have to surrender to that truth, what you have realized. And that is talparayana. Tad buddhaya tad almanam tannishta talparayana. Once that, in Bhagavatam also look, it will the same thing. Nishta is Ekadasha Skandam, Mukti. Dwadasha Skandam is Ashrayam, which is Parayana. Dwadasha Skandam means 12th canto. 12th canto is Ashrayam, shelter. So after liberation, is there anything? That's the question. After liberation, is there something to do? Yes, there is. What is that? Surrender. So Jnani comes to know and then surrender. Devotee surrenders first and then come to know the truth. That's the only difference between Jnani and the Bhakta. Bhakta, devotee surrenders everything. For him, surrender is more important. For a Jnani, studying everything, realizing in this process, tad buddhaya tad almanam tan nishta tal parayana. After knowing tan nishta comes to him,
He has become very steady, fixed, and then he realizes none of this is the truth. Vyavaharam is not the truth. World is not the truth. Krishna is the alone truth, and he surrenders to Krishna. That is Talparayana. So that is that verse is talking about. Tad buddhaya tad almanam tan nishta talparayana. What will happen to him? Gachandi, he goes away. Then punaravrtim, there is no more coming back again for him. Why? Yanam nurdhudam kalmashaha. All kalmasham has gone. Kalmasham means impurities in us. All the impurities has gone. Body, mind, intelligence, ego, they are all impurities in us. They are all impurities in us. Once those impurities have gone, what remains is only jnanam, knowledge. Knowledge is what remains, and that knowledge is our consciousness. Consciousness is that knowledge. So at that time, and that state is called sannyasam. That is the word Krishna is using, the word sannyasam. People think that sannyasam is all changing dress, changing the name, and carrying danda or a ceremony. People think that is not sannyasam. That is in the Varnashrama Dharma, we address it like this, to give a special, just like policeman is given a special dress. Similarly, sannyasi is given a special dress. Nothing more to it than that. Based on that, if you start understanding sannyasam, you will not get anywhere. You have to know what Krishna is talking about sannyasam. Krishna's sannyasam is this. Tad buddhaya tad alpanam tannishta talparayanaha gacchandi punaravrtim jnana murdhuda kalmashaha. All this is important for the sannyasi. Sannyasi is that person who has reached that stage. That is the stage of sannyasam Krishna is talking about. So, externally, if you talking about sannyasam, we have to know this. Externally, if you take sannyasam, people will tell you something, oh, he has become a sannyasi now. Many people say like this, oh, he's a sannyasi now, isn't it? And there, that is possible also, some people will say, find fault with it, sannyasi, he has become a sannyasi. Is he following everything properly as a sannyasi? And there is possibility that, because each one of us, in our own mind, we may have formulated some understanding of sannyasam. And then we look at the person and we'll start thinking, his behavior may not be up to that mark. Or, and you may think that, oh, what kind of sannyasi is this? People will say, you can often hear this, isn't it? So therefore, before taking sannyasi, you should be careful also. Just go and take something. People will be talking about it. They may not tell you in the face, but they will talk about you. The kind of things they have written about sannyasis in the website, if you read, that's a good example. Look at what all they have written about. And sannyasis also replying all that. So this whole thing becomes a joke, isn't it? The sannyasa ashramam is not like that. Krishna is talking about, this is sannyasam, what Krishna is talking about here. So if you take externally sannyasam, people will talk about it. Sometimes they will say, oh, what kind of sannyasi? He has given up everything, but he wants everything. He has got all the desires still in him. People will say this. It's unavoidable. The world is like that. It will happen like that. So, but instead of externally changing to sannyasam, if internally this sannyasam happens, Krishna likes to talk about internal things. Krishna is not bothered what to go, do it outside. He has no interest. I told you also, in the case of the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna talked about bhakti, did he talk about the bhakti, what we are talking about? He has no interest whatsoever. All the things what he discussed in the about bhakti in the Bhagavad Gita is very much an internal thing, you see now. And he knew very well, if he, Krishna start discussing the external things in this world, then there's the endless it is. There is so many sampradayam, so many parampara, so many sannyasis in so many formats here. And Krishna hasn't spoken anything about the externalities of the body, how you dress, how you, as a sannyasi, how you, for a general guidance, he has mentioned there is four varnam, four ashramam in this world. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam. And the sannyasam Krishna is talking about, exactly like bhakti, is an internal affair, not external thing. Krishna is on a higher level. He doesn't have to talk about external things. He has left it to the world. Let the world decide how the sannyasi should be. Whether sannyasi goes by first class or travels by economy, That's not Krishna's concern. Krishna didn't say all these things. Krishna has left that to you to decide. Have you got this qualification, what Krishna is talking about? Then you have got it. Whether you travel by first class or economy is not important for Krishna is concerned. Or whether you live in the five-star hotel or you live in a simpler accommodation, that is also doesn't matter to Krishna. If you haven't got this, as far as Krishna is concerned, you are not a sannyasi. You may have got initiated to sannyasam and carrying danda and all that. And in the front of the world, you may be a sannyasi. In the eyes of Krishna, you are still not a sannyasi. That is good to know that. It's good to know, so that we are clear in our head. Where, so long as you are driven by the world, you start thinking, oh, anyone who comes here in a sannyasi clothes is a sannyasi. Isn't it? That is not true. That's not true. That's what Krishna is saying here. Tal buddhaya tadalmanam tan nishtha talparayana gachandi apunaravartim jnana nirdhuda kalmashaha. He is freed from all kalmasham and pure jnanam is present in him and gachandi apunaravartim. He will, that sannyasi will not come back. Modern sannyasis may come back. That's another important point. There is no guarantee that you have taken sannyasam in this world the way it is today. There is no guarantee that you won't come back. I can tell you that, because if this Bhagavadam is any proof, that stage is a little bit different than a what? Okay, in the eyes of the world it's okay, but in the eyes of Krishna's eyes, that's not finished yet. Because when you see some of the vasanas in sannyasis also, you have to ask this question. Isn't it? They are not trying to criticize anybody. We are saying that Shastram is saying like this. Has the vasanas all gone from the sannyasi's mind? Has the sannyasi freedom from everything? No, it's not. It doesn't happen always like that. So as far as sannyasi is concerned, then he is this internal sannyasam. That is what Krishna is saying. Andarika sannyasam. Not bahya sannyasam. Andarika sannyasam. Bahya sannyasam is what we say. Andarika sannyasam. What Krishna is saying here. Jnanam cha mai sannyasit. When Andarika sannyasam happens, his situation is like this. He will be completely absorbed in the soul. Completely absorbed in the soul. And little by little, that dhyanam, meditation. He does not meditate like the way we go into a meditation hall or an institution to meditate. People go and do meditation like that, isn't it? Sometimes I see in the village also, there is some meditation classes going on in the village hall. So you see all these old ladies who have nothing else to do after retiring, about 10 o'clock in the morning. They woke up at about 8 or so, and at 10 o'clock in the morning, they are carrying their expensive yoga mat, they call it. And they are struggling and walking towards this village hall for meditation. Krishna knows what they are meditating. Probably instead of sleeping at home, they will be sleeping there. That is not meditation. Proper meditation, when Krishna is saying there, it has to come from within. It has to happen to you, not you go into it. You cannot go into meditation. Meditation, because you have properly scrutinized everything, you have studied Shastram well, understood all the import of the Shastram, with that, in a natural frame inside, meditation comes to you. That is meditation. Not otherwise. Not otherwise. It's very interesting to watch all sorts of things goes on here in the world. Meditation courses. She charges £12 an hour for that. Why don't you sit at home and sleep instead of going and sitting on the mat? They get an opportunity to chat, all these old ladies. So, some of the other men don't seem to have taken to it very much. Men like to stay in the bed. And it's only the women, they feel that, oh, they're all attending meditation courses, all going. Then they got special mats for that, for this meditation purposes, and costing some 40, 50 pounds, they buy that. And the village hall makes the money, they get the room booked. And there's about few women who come, the 10, 12 of them come every Friday or something. And it's going on all over the country, it's not only in one place. You will notice this. And similarly, there are other institutions who teach meditation. We say yoga meditation. And some meditation we will introduce to them. From the, strictly speaking, Krishna's point is, if you have accepted all this, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, and then you have absorbed your life in that, in a natural way it has to become your pattern, and that is meditation. Meditation has to get you, not you have to get meditation. Meditation will get you.
That is what Krishna is saying here. That so here he says that tatparayana, and at that time what will happen? That continuously, little by little, this meditation will influence you in such a way that you will transcend your body, transcend your mind, transcend your intelligence, and you will simply become a witness to everything. You are in this world, you are a witness to everything, what is going on here. And this experience, being situated in the platform of the soul and the nature of the soul, will become revealed to you. Revealed to you means that through experience it will be revealed to you. Nobody will come and tell you like that, but in your experience, you will start experience that akhandatvam. Akhandatvam means, at the moment you are identifying with the body and therefore you are thinking you are limited to the body. But that limitation with this body will go. Limitation, limited to this body, that experience at the moment what we have, I am limited to this body, that will go away from inside. And Krishna says, at that stage, it is talparayana. That is talparayana. Talparayana means that you have lost your limited existence in the form through this body, and you are completely released from the body, and your identity with the pure consciousness, akhandatvam. Akhandatvam means that. Akhandatvam means uninterrupted, unbroken state. Pure consciousness, that state will come to us at that time. And if you ask that person, he is situated like that. If you ask him, what are you going to do tomorrow? He will say, what I am doing today, I will be doing tomorrow. For him, no change. This change is a big disease. Changing, changing, changing everything, every minute. It's a serious problem with the world, isn't it? And we think that changing means progress. No, changing is not progress. Everything, it disturbs people's lives so much, this changing business. Unnecessarily. And they think that it is all progress. Suppose when change, what will happen? They change the things so much, old people are finding it very difficult to live in this world. They want to get out of this place as soon as possible because of the changes that is created by the world, by the society in so many ways, isn't it? So, whereas a realized person, he will never have any changes in his life. He's saying, what I'm doing today, it will be the same tomorrow. What I'm doing tomorrow will be the same day after. And he's happy in that. He's happy in that state. Whereas most of us, if there is no change, I'll go on a holiday, just want to have a change. If I don't have a change, I'm not happy. No. So, the weather, it's not changing. And then sometimes you say, it is changeable weather. So if it changes, complain. If you don't change also, it's complain. But somehow, this is all the disturbance in the mind. It is coming out in that way. That is what Krishna says here. So, whole lifetime is going to do the same thing. In the Upanishad, that says, Pradibodham, Pradibodhavihitam. That's what it's called, Pradibodhavihitam. So, every moment, he is in that state. Every moment, he is in that state. And he has nothing to do. He has nothing to do. He has reached that state. Body is not demanding anymore from him anything. He is staying there for the body to go. When the body is gone, talparayana, he has reached that destination where he has to be. A brahmana gave an application to a government office once. So when they gave the application, sometimes they ask, what's your profession, isn't it? He asked him, what is your profession, to this brahmana. Brahmana said, self-inquiry. In his application, he wrote, self-inquiry. So, self-inquiry is tatparayana, Ishvara smarana, remembering Krishna, remembering the inquiring about the self. That's what he does most of the day. But because he had some difficulties in life, so he wanted to do some work to get some money. That's all he wanted. He was not looking for a big professional career or anything. Due to his material circumstances, he thought, if I can do some work and get some money, because he had some prarabdham still to finish, so that's all he wanted. He was not looking for anything bigger than that. So he thought, when he gave the application, what he was doing every day was self-inquiry, completely absorbed in the inquiry after the soul. So he wrote that in his applications. They didn't call him for an interview. This is calling for an interview. But it didn't affect him at all. He was not disturbed about that. He says, as far as they are concerned, death is not a big issue for them. That is not a big issue for them. Because even due to prarabdham, if something has to happen in life, whatever it may be, to know that I have nothing to do with any of these things, and there is no point in doing anything about it, with that knowledge, completely detached, he remains in this world. That is that nature of a brahmana. So many times, so many problems will come in life, and sometimes it will be very heavy, what prarabdham can bring to us. But because this knowledge is very strongly embedded inside, he's not looking for any solution to it as such. And he knows that there is no point, there's nothing I have to do there. Sometimes you can see that family life, you have wife, children, parents, grandchildren, so many things, people will be around you. Their prarabdham will be different than your prarabdham. They may have to go sometime earlier than you. And there is no point in panicking about it, that they are dying early or they are getting sick. And their own life is going. If you start connecting yourself with all their prarabdham, then you are going to be in trouble. You will be in trouble. So that is why Krishna is saying that such situations, this knowledge of the self will protect you. Will protect you to see things clearly, what it is, the reality is. And to remain detached from everything, and that is, you may call it as selfishness. You may call it as selfishness, but that selfishness is necessary. That selfishness is necessary. Because otherwise in this world, if you get affected by everything what goes on here, then you will be finding it very difficult. Selfishness is necessary, but where you put your selfishness, that is what you have to... You are not selfish. That is really, you can't call it a selfishness. Actually, through knowledge of the self, you are coming to understand what the reality here is, and being situated in that state. And that is not selfishness. Selfishness is when for material reasons you are trying to exploit others, or you are trying to use others for your own material happiness. That is selfishness. But an inquiry of the self in that process, if you have to be fixed in the platform of the self, that is not selfishness. And so the question is, where is your selfishness? That is where the question is. So sometimes when you say in this world, swarthada is selfishness, isn't it? Swarthada it is called. One who is not selfish also is actually selfish in the world. One who says he is not selfish is also selfish. Because real person who is not selfish is one who has interest in the soul. Only one who has interest in the soul is not really selfish. So, one whose selfishness is put on the soul, such a person is free from selfishness. Only one who has put all his interest in this world, in the soul, all his interest in the soul, or completely fixed on the soul, he is not selfish. Everyone else is selfish in this world. So even one who says, I am not selfish person, he is saying like that because he is selfish. He has some selfish motive behind it. So therefore, if you put your selfishness in Krishna, then you are not selfish anymore. You are not selfish anymore. So that is why putting selfishness in Krishna. What does that mean? Continuously remembering Krishna. In the sense, self-inquiry through the process of knowledge or surrendering through bhakti. Either way, keeping that connection with Krishna, Bhagavad Smarana. That's what it means. Now, after knowing all these things properly, if you think that your next duty is to let the whole world know about it, propaganda. If you want to do that propaganda, that's a very dangerous thing. Why? Because it is not possible. It will never become perfect. Because our nature is like that in this world, is it not? That we want to make the whole world perfect. That somehow in everyone, we think that we can make the world perfect. And you may have got understanding and you may have come to realize it something, But if you start thinking that the world also should become like that, that will not happen. That will not happen. Similarly, as much as the propagation is concerned, in the equally, if you think that in my life, if everything is sorted out, say my son's marriage is done, daughter's marriage is over, and after all these things has happened, then I will take to this knowledge, then also it won't happen. Then also it won't happen. Because all these things are not in our hands. That's the first thing, to accept it that way. And so instead of putting your selfishness in all these things, thinking that about the children and their future and worrying about it, whatever that is to happen according to their prarabdham, it will go. That is not in your control. You can't do anything about it. To think that you are going to sort all that out, and that kind of selfishness will not work. Then how will it happen? You can try yourself how it happens, how that will happen. Because you are thinking that whether it will happen or not, isn't it? And you are thinking that it's because of me that everything is happening in this family life. Everything is happening in family life. So, all householders have got this problem. It's householder life all this problem is, isn't it? So therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Narada Maharshi gives one very good instruction to Yudhishthira. What does he say to him? Krishna says to Yudhishthira, Narada Maharshi says to him that if you have started thinking that because of your presence the family life is going on, best thing to do, you leave the family and go away for 6 months. And then you come back and look at your family, you will see the family was doing better than you when you were there. So this foolishness in the head is telling us that because of my presence, oh, I managed everything, my family life so well, then the family made, everything was went on very well. If I wasn't there, I don't know what would have happened. All these things people talk about it, isn't it? So Sri Narada Maharshi says to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira, if it has come to that stage, go to forest for some time or go away somewhere from the home for 3 months or 6 months. So many times you can see this happening in this world. Sometimes marriage breaks up, husband goes away or wife goes away. Somebody will bring them up, those children, and they got through life somehow. Nothing has happened. Is it because that you are there that everything happened? And then later on the father is saying, mother is saying, that oh, this happened, that happened. That's all now history now. It's no use talking about it. But this illusion in our head, it's because of me that everything was working out happily, very well. I managed it very well. That's why everything went very well. That has to go. That is what he is saying. So householder, that instruction is very important. Particularly householder. Sannyasis, brahmachari is no problem. They are thinking that for them they have to care for themselves. They don't have to worry about somebody else, isn't it? But householder life, all these problems comes. That we start thinking, if I didn't do this, what would have happened to my family? What would have happened to somebody else's family? All these things. So he says like that, when you come back after 5 or 6 months and you come and look at the family, you start realizing that without me also things can go on in this world. I unnecessarily thought about it. So, and you'll also realize it's because of my presence only all the problems here. If I wasn't there, they would have happily lived in the family life. It's because of this interference. I was going and poking my head in anything and everything, interfering in everything with the wife and the children, everything, and trying to sort them out. All problems have come. Just keep out of it, everything will go out in the normal way. And therefore, that driving seat, you vacate. The driver's seat. You vacate from the driver's seat. So swartham, for the purpose, use the selfishness for the purpose for which you have come here to this world, and that is self-realization. That is where selfishness is required, not in the other things. Family matters, society matters, community matters, country matters, all that selfishness is no meaning. Because if you are having selfishness in any of those things, that means you are really selfish. That's why you are in that. Whereas if your selfishness is for Krishna consciousness or self-realization, that selfishness does not disturb anyone in any way. And in the world, that prarabdham, let it dance its own way. Because that prarabdham is doing that. Family life is a prarabdham. And in that family life, different family members reacting to different situations is also prarabdham. Suppose sometimes somebody whom you had enmity in your previous life will come in this life as your son and take the revenge to you, with you.
Equally with the wife and the husband also. There is some connection somewhere in the past, and that is what is brought together again. That's all it is. Of course, we will say, oh, we love so much each other. Husband loves the wife and wife loves the husband. And that is why we met each other and we started loving each other. Oh, we were in the moon all the time. That's all the thing. Prarabdha must pull them together and not recognizing that so many women are walking on the street. Why I got caught into with one? What is the reason? Except by this prarabdham. There's no other reason to it. Same thing with the men also. It equally applies to everybody. Each one of us are independent unit. Independent, we are all independent units. Prarabdham connects us together. Prarabdham is finished. That connection is also over. I remember some old couple, they were always saying every year, this is the 40th marriage anniversary, 50th marriage anniversary, 60th marriage anniversary. They were both in their 90s. And as soon as the 90-year-old came, both of them, they have lost all their memory. This dementia came and other problems started coming. So when problems started coming, all that love what they had in their 20s and 30s and the 60 years of marriage celebration, all gone. And what happened? One day a stage came. They couldn't help each other because they were both physically incapacitated. When that happens, what does the government does? NHS or council or GP, whatever, he made arrangements that the wife should go to the home, husband should stay home, or husband should go to another place because this situation was different. Those who know about it, they'll tell you. That situation changes, so wife had to go to the home, husband had gone to another place in a care home or something like that. They were separated like that. They had no problem in separating. They didn't say, oh, we couldn't celebrate our 60th, 70th birth marriage anniversary. They didn't say that. At that time, you can see in them, all this is illusion, what they have built up in life. And the wife goes to one home, and then they were on this, life support machine. She was in the life support machine. And they gave the choice to the husband to decide whether it should be switched on or off, life support machine. So the children came and they said they should switch off the life support machine. She should die and go. Husband says no. The father is saying no, don't switch off. He is also in a very awkward state, but he wouldn't agree. Like this life is tossed around between the children and the parents and her father, and finally she died and gone. And then later on, in a few months' time, the old man also left this world. But while we are here, we create this illusion in us, isn't it? And the children were sending the cards and parents were sending the cards to them and glorifying how wonderful it is, everything. And the card people also, they got some beautiful words to print on the gift. Absolutely no reality with what is written in the card and what you are thinking about the situation. Completely different, isn't it? Card will be saying such a glorified version of the whole thing. And in your heart, you are struggling to buy the card. Which card to buy, you are choosing. And every card is all glorified language. There's not one card which tells you the reality, the truth, isn't it? So this is Maya. That's what Krishna is saying here. Maya matram idam yatva. This Maya, if you start explaining, you can sit and talk about it for years together. Because it's such a subject, this Maya. Thing called Maya. So that is why Krishna says here that keep your mind, keep absorbed in the realized state. Prarabdham, let it play its game, what it has to play in this world. You can't do anything about it. Prarabdhaya samarpidam supu. What do we do? What we do is, so when we are absorbed in Krishna consciousness or in Swarupa Sthiti or in the self-inquiry state, Krishna is talking about a jnani now. In this case here, jnani says, for him the most dear thing is the self. Self is the one what he loves mostly. And for Krishna says, I love the jnani. Isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, there is many verses. Krishna is saying that among all the devotees, I like the jnani, he says.
Artha, Jityasu, Artharthi, Jnani. Four kinds of devotees. We have seen that before. Do you remember when we discussed that chapter? I think it is in the fourth or fifth chapter. Somewhere. So, Artho, Jityasu, Artharthi, Jnani. Krishna is saying, among them I like the Jnani, the devotee, because we are not separate. We are not separate. We are not different. Because he, in all his nature, is like me, Krishna says. That is why he says he is me. Why does he say? His realization, and he has reached that state, that in every way he is me. Krishna is like that. That's why he is saying that. Krishna is saying, Jnani Twalpaiva Me Madam. 7.2? 7.16? Yeah. So look at that verse. 7.16. Just to see the connection between Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And exactly that thing is what going to see Krishna is going to say in the next verse in the 19th chapter. 7.16. 18 it is. Actually, Jnani Twalpaiva Me Matam, Krishna is saying. Udara Sarvaiva Ite, Jnani Twalpaiva Me Matam, Astida Sahayuktal Mameva Uttamam Gedim. He says, all these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider verily to dwell in me. And being engaged in my transcendental service, he attains me. Mameva Uttamam Gadim. In other words, that is a Talparayana state, he's saying here. In the verse before that, he says, Tesham Jnani Nitya Yukta Ega Bhaktir Vishishyate Priyohi Jnani Nothyartham Aham Sacha Mama Priyaha. Look at that, what Krishna says. Priyohi Jnani Nothyartham Aham Sacha Mama Priyaha. Who is, nobody is more dearer to me than him. One of these, the wise one, who is in full knowledge, in union with me, through pure devotional service, is the best. For I am very dear to him, and he is very dear to me. Now, when Prabhupada says here, this devotional service, do not misunderstand it in the wrong way. This devotional service is talking about para-bhakti stage. That is when this happens. Not in our sadhana stage devotional service. Devotional service has a para-bhakti stage and the sadhana stage. Para-bhakti stage, what happens? That is what Krishna is talking about here. Tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir vishishyade priyohi jnani no thyartham aham sacha mama priyaham udara sarvaye vaide jnani twalpaiva me madam astida sahi yuktalma mameva uttamam gadim. Then in the next verse Krishna is saying, bahunam janmanam ande jnanavan mam prabudyade vasudeva sarvamidi samahalma sudurlabhaham. So all these verses are there to support that point what Krishna is saying here, that the true jnani comes to that stage and he is the most dear to me, Krishna is saying there, isn't it? He is saying that Krishna is most, he is saying that he is very, very dear to me. Krishna said that in the Bhagavad Gita. Now you look at the next verse in the Bhagavadam. Jnani nastu hame veshta Swartho hedushcha sammadaha surgascha apavargascha nanya artho madhrade priyaha. Same verse. Spoken in a different language. In a different way it is structured. But meaning wise, exactly the same thing what you saw in the Bhagavad Gita. Jnaninastuhame veshta swartho hedushcha sammadaha surgascha apavargascha nanyo artho madhrade priyaha. Nanyortho madhade priyaham. Then, jnana vijnana samsiddham padam shreshtam vidurmama jnani priyadamo dome jnani naso bhibartimam tapastirtham japodhanam pavitra nidaranija nalam kurvandidam siddhim ya jnana galaya krita. That is the final word. Krishna is saying, tapastirthasthanam, going to performing austerities and penances, going to holy places for tirtham, holy rivers, holy places like that. Japam, chanting the holy name. Dhanam, charity. They are all meant for purification. Pavitra anitara anicha Nalam kurvandidam siddhim.
Krishna is saying none of them are as powerful in purifying a person
yada ya yanagalaya kridaha.
Like spiritual knowledge, none of them is as powerful in purifying a person.
Tapasa tirtham tirtha seva jnanam, sorry, japam danam,
all are meant for purification, but any one of them is not as powerful as
ya jnanagalaya kritaha,
like jnanam, like spiritual knowledge. So Krishna is stressing that again and again.
Jnaninastuhame veshta, second verse. Swartho hedushcha sammada surgaischa apavargascha nanyo artho madrade priyaha jnana vijnana samsiddham padam shreshtam vidur mama jnani priyadamo temi jnane nasau bhibarthimam tapastirtham javo danam pavitranidranicha nalam kurvandidam siddhim ya jnanagalaya krita.
How can you say more than, what can you say more than this about knowledge of the self?
Krishna is saying, ya jnanagalaya krida. What jnanam does in a person, that effect you will never get by any other process of sadhana, spiritual sadhana.
Spiritual sadhana.
That is why when people say jnanam is not necessary, jnanam is not necessary, it becomes a little difficult to understand that. Jnanam is necessary. But tasmat jnanena sahidam jnatva swatmanam uddhava jnana vijnana sambanyo bhajamam bhakti bhavida.
Krishna has not written off bhakti there. You can see there.
He says, with that jnanam come to bhakti, he says. With that jnanam you come to bhakti. Tasmat jnanena sahidam jnatvam svatmanam uddhava. Through that jnanam, realize the self first. First realize the self. And then jnana vijnana sambannam.
In the full capacity, with the full steam of jnanam and vijnanam,
bhajamam bhakti bhavidaha.
Take to Krishna consciousness and execute bhakti. This is that process Krishna is saying to us in this chapter.
So again, it's not different than what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. What does he say? Brahma bhuda prasanna alpa na shojade na kamkshade sama sarveshu bhudeshu mad bhaktim labhade param.
Exactly the same thing. In another way, it is spoken here. Isn't it?
So here, you can see, sarto hedushcham, such a person, Krishna says here, surgaischam, swartho hedushcha sammadaham, that for him, that after he dies, for him, there is no heaven or hell, such a person who has died in this knowledge. There's such a jnani who has realized the truth. For him, there is no heaven or hell. There is no heaven or hell. Everything is here. Because for him, surgascha abhavargascha, surgam, abhavargam, everything here is being in that state. That is his perfection. Nanyo artho madhe, nanyartho madhade priyaham. Because for him, there is nothing to achieve anymore in this life. Nothing to acquire from outside, nothing to achieve in this world. And that is why in that third verse he says, jnana vijnana sambannam samsiddha padam shreshtam vidur mama jnani jnani priyadamodomi jnani nasau bibhartimam. Krishna says they know about this ultimate destination where they are going to be very well about it. Therefore the jnani is very, very dear to me. In other words, Krishna is saying, a jnani actually carries Krishna everywhere. Like you see in the temple, when you have a big festivals, you take the deity in a procession, isn't it? You carry the deity in a procession in the temple, around the temple or to other places, you carry the deity. Similarly, jnani, as far as Krishna is concerned, Krishna is saying, he carries me everywhere. He carries me everywhere. Jnani naso bhivartimam, Krishna says. So because of the jnanam, he carries this load of me, Krishna says. Because he is carrying me in his heart all the time. And he controls me and he has taken complete control of me inside him. And here, when Krishna is saying this, he is not saying this as though He is the son of Nanda Maharaj here. He said, you can see that from the verse. He is not saying that a jnani is always carrying Krishna on his two shoulders. That's not what it means. He is not speaking here as Nanda Maharaj's son. Instead, as Antaryami, who is present in everyone's heart. It is in that context this verse is spoken. Is it not? You can see that. If a little bit of intelligence, if you think about it. He is not saying anything that he carries me, Krishna says, jnani, as the Antaryami inside. And because what has he achieved from that? He has achieved that perfection in his life. All the time in our heart and in our experience, he is conscious of me, which is what we have discussed. Aham alma gudakesha sarva bhuta shayastida aham adyamcha madhyamcha bhutanam andamevacha. And jnani has realized it. That is what that state is. That's why Krishna is saying he carries me. He knows he is carrying me. Complete agreement with my presence inside. Totally in identity with that. So, this reality is in everyone. But some people know about it, some people don't know about it. Because there is no jnanam, there is no knowledge, realization, therefore we don't know about it. Atma jnanam, in other words. So, that is why many great personalities say there, there is only one thing that is shortage in this world, knowledge of the soul, there is nothing else. All other knowledge is no use without the knowledge of the self. That is what Krishna is saying in this verses. So we'll have a short break. Nirvapanam shreya kaitava chandriga vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pratipadam purnamrada swadanam sarvapna svapanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida niyamida smaranena kala Etadrisha Mamavi Durdeva Medrashamihajani Nanuraga Tranara Vishuni Jaina Tarorabi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Najanam Najanam Naganam Nasundarim Kavidamba Jagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadad Bhaktirahai Dugitvai ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patitamam vishame bhavambudo krupaya tava pada pangaja sthita doli sadrasham vijindaya nayanam galada shrudharaya vadanam gadgadaruddhaya gira pulager nichidam kadavabho tavam nama grahane bhavishyati yugaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam Shunyaidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Ashlishyava padaradam pinashtumam Adarshanam marmahadam karodhuva Yetha tadava vidhada dulambada Matprana natha stvina evana paraha. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Yo Vidya Shruta Sambandham Alpavan Nanumaniyaham Maya Matramidam Yatva Jnanam Chamaisanyasen Jnaninastuhameveshta Swartho Hedushcha Sammada Surgaischa Abhavargascha Nanyortho Madhyade Priyaham Jnana Vijnana Samsiddho Padam Shrestam Vidurmama Jnani priyadamo tome jnani nasau bhivartimam tapastirtham japodanam pavitra nidarani cha nalam kurvandidam siddhi ya jnana kalaya kritaha tasmal jnani sahidam jnatva swalpanam uddhava jnana vijnana sambanno bhajamam bhakti bhavidaha jnana vijnana yajnena mamishtu alpanam almani sarvam yajnavadim mam vai samsiddhim munayo agaman. So, so there is only one thing Krishna is saying, there is shortage here in this world, knowledge of the soul. So what did he learn, what did he gain from the knowledge of the soul? Nothing he has gained. What it has happened is, what's already there, he got it back. Anything new, he didn't get anything new. Already what's there in him, he got it back. Knowledge of the soul is there in everyone, except that due to ajnanam, avidya, we have ignorance and we identify with the body. We have lost that and we got back our spiritual identity. So here, Krishna is saying here, why jnanam is so special? The reason is, he says, that anything you achieve or you get it in this world, it will go. What you have already got it, it will remain. That is the difference between jnana sadhana and yoga sadhana. Yoga sadhana is based on attaining something, isn't it? You're going to get something from by actions, by your yoga process. You're going to attain something. But jnana sadhana, the difference is that jnana sadhana is not dependent on anything. It's already something what you have already got. What you haven't got, you're getting something new, it will go. If you think that, just like you can see, through karmam you get something here in this world, through karmam, acquire wealth, acquire anything, house or any other thing in this world, all through karmam. And you can see it goes also. It is not going to stay. Anything that is acquired through karmam will go. Anything that is acquired through jnanam will stay. That is the difference. Jnanam keeps you on your what jnanam does is takes away the ajnanam from inside, avidya from inside, and put you there where you are meant to be. Karmam, what it does is, it gives you this understanding that by working hard or by doing something, we have a lot of faith in our doing, isn't it? Doing, we have become like this now. That doing thing, and that faith, that has to go from inside. It's not by doing that you make progress in spiritual life. It is by not doing you make the progress in spiritual life. It is by doing that we are caught up in this situation where we are today. Karmam, karma vasana, and prarabdham, all this is a byproduct. That is why, if you remember, Kundi Devi says this, and also avidya, kama, karma. Again, it comes in 2-3 places in the Bhagavadam. Avidya, kamam, karmam. Kundi Devi's prayers, if you look, you will see she is saying that, isn't it? Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi. First avidya inside, due to avidya desires come, and due to desires into action, karma comes. And with the result of that, life after life to accept another bodies. Krishna is saying like that. So, sometimes you can see this. Anything comes through even yoga sadhana also, sometimes it will go. So sometimes it is like that. And mind and intelligence, I use it, you also use it, isn't it? And you study many things through mind and intelligence. And sometimes I may have spoken many things in my own understanding like that from mind and intelligence. Somebody who has heard that, he will tell me, after hearing CD many times, he says to me, "Oh, I heard this, you are saying this." Whereas I don't remember that myself, that I said that. Why is that? Because through mind and intelligence, I have also done the same mistake. And I've spoken it, and that I must have read it somewhere, I must have heard somewhere. And it was in my mind and intelligence. And I've spoken that, but then later on I've forgotten that. But somebody else who heard that, he remembered that. And he said to me, I can't remember me saying that. It happens that way. So this is the problem, what Krishna is talking about here. That sometimes some stories I may have read somewhere and heard somewhere. I must have thought that it is a proper example for something what I read in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam. So I may have quoted that story, but that story didn't stay inside. So Krishna says, and that person may have heard it and must have spoken about it. Or sometimes I may remember that I have read this somewhere, whether it is in YouTube or in the internet or in the books or something like that. So that time or sometimes it comes back also. That's where I have heard that. So
If I hear that CD myself later on, I must start thinking, where did I hear this? How did I say that? So all what is indicating to us is, so at that particular moment when you said that, you had it in your mind. It is in your mind, you've spoken that. But none of them is in your memory. None of them is in your memory. It was there only for that that particular moment. It was in your mind. So therefore, jnanam is called, in Shastram they call it as Vastu Tantram. Vastu Tantram means that what jnanam does is, it doesn't bring anything new. What it does is, it removes ignorance and show you what it is. That's all. It is different than the way we acquire knowledge in this world, isn't it? Just like when we study chemistry or physics or any subject, different topics like that, we are trying to achieve something from outside, from a world outside. That knowledge is not inside us. It is a knowledge outside which we, by through studying through the mind and intelligence, that knowledge is coming in. What this jnanam, what Krishna is talking about, is that jnanam taking away all that unwanted things what you have collected and showing your true nature, what you are, which is not the body, not the mind, not the intelligence, not the ego, purely on the platform of the soul. So that is why what's already there and making it available to you is what jnanam does. Not creating something new and bring it to you. Jnanam will never do that. Jnanam cannot do that. What jnanam does is, what you have already got, reveal that to you. That you already got it. And that is the case, that is what Krishna is saying, Atmavan. Once you come to the platform of the soul, all you are realizing that your identity, that's all it is. Nothing more than that. You come to know that all these years I have misunderstood about myself. I thought I am this body. Now that ignorance is gone and I come back to my Swarupa Sthiti. That is why it's called Swarupam. It's your Swarupam is that. Swarupa Sthiti has come. So, jnanam does that. That's the business of jnanam. This has to be very clear, because you have to know how each thing happens in a person. What does tapasya do? Austerity. Austerity purifies the senses and purifies the mind. That is the job of austerity. Austerity does that. If you practice austerity, what it does is purifies the mind and purifies the senses. Austerity will not give you knowledge of the self. That also you have to know. That just simply becoming austere is not the solution. Just because you are austere doesn't mean you will have the knowledge of the self. That is what in that fourth verse Krishna is saying, tapatsurtam japodanam pavitra nitaranicha nalam kurvanti tam siddhim ya jnanakalaya krita. That verse is indicating that. So, all of those things are for purifying. Which one? Tapasya. Japam. Also is for purification is japam. Somehow we think other way, isn't it? Krishna is saying here, tapasya, tirtham, tirthayatra, japam, danam. They are all for purification. They are all for purification. Tapatirtha japo danam pavitra nidarani cha nalam kurvandi dam siddhim ya jnanakalaya krita. Ya jnanakalaya krita. Like jnanakala, the knowledge process, they will not have that capacity. So because pavitri krita means that purification process. Kala. Jnanakala means, what is jnanakala means? Jnanakala means when you are continuously hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam all the time, if you are hearing, suddenly you get a glimpse of it within yourself, of that reality, of the truth inside. That suddenly your attention has fallen on that instead of the body. Normally our attention is on the body, isn't it? So suppose while hearing Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, if you are very absorbed, and fortunately, if there is not much of a chittavritti inside and the mode of goodness is high inside, nobody can say about it. Anything can happen to anyone. Some people, mode of goodness will come at some times. And just like rajogunam, tamogunam comes, sattugunam also comes. So while in sattugunam, if you are able to hear this message at some point, it is possible that you may get a glimpse of it. And that glimpse is Krishna saying it as jnanakala.
That jnana kala is that glimpse. Ya jnana kalaya krida, Krishna says. Just like a glimpse of that, what you are experiencing at that time, he says, you won't get that either through tapasya, tirthasthanam, japam, dhanam. None of them can give you this jnana kala, Krishna says. You are not completely situated on the platform of the soul yet, but suddenly a glimpse of that you have experienced in your consciousness. You got an experience of that. So that's why Krishna says here that none of those things will give you directly Brahmajnanam, Brahmavidya. Or Brahmajnanam is not given directly by any of those things. So that glimpse, what Krishna says here, just like through suddenly on a cloudy day, sometimes suddenly sun comes out through the cloud, isn't it? You get a sudden shine of sun for a few minutes or sometimes a few seconds. In the similar way, while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, if you get any time a glimpse of that truth of the self, that is called jnana kala. That is called swarupa darshanam, experiencing the self for a short period of time, very short, maybe for a glimpse of that, that is called kala. That is called kala. That is what word Krishna is saying there. Nalam kurvandidam siddhim ya jnana kalaya krita. It is not like jnana kala, he says. He's even saying that even a jnana kala is more than the tapasya, tirtham, javam, dhanam, everything. Javam, dhanam, everything. Then, suppose you have received a kala like that, a jnana kala, and you have got an experience, you got it, somebody got it by chance, then when you continue your reflection later, mananam, these are all about serious people in spiritual life we are talking about, that you have to always keep it in your mind. We are not serious enough, that is the reality, isn't it? Our prarabdham is like this, to work 48 hours a week or 60 hours a week, and then find a couple of hours for spiritual life. That's our prarabdham. But those who are not in that state, completely absorbed in spiritual inquiry and spiritual realization, for them, that is what Krishna is talking about here, about them. He's saying there that if you have experienced a bit of that jnana kala, and if you have completely executed a proper process of mananam and nididhyasanam, if you have done, and you will know that what you have achieved through japam, chanting the holy name, or through your meditation process by reading books or whatever process you have executed, or some people who are very serious about yoga sadhana like pranayamam and others, those who have done that, whatever you have achieved through all that, none of them, because when people execute those processes like pranayamam or other yoga sadhanas, or people who have engaged in meditation process, or those who are doing chanting the holy name, Krishna is saying here, whether through japam, whether through dhyanam, or whether through yoga sadhana, whatever you have executed, none of them, Krishna says, when you experience this jnana kala, what you have experienced, not even a fraction of that you will feel happy by any of the other processes. That means, through jnana kala, when you get a glimpse of that, the effect that is on you at that time through jnana kala, it is so powerful, you will know that either through meditation or through chanting the holy name or through any other yoga sadhana, pranayamam or whatever it is, none of them can match with this jnana kala what you have experienced inside, if you get it, of course. If you get a glimpse of that jnana kala, that is why shravanam process is given so much importance. You never know when it will happen. That depends on so many other factors also. Our prarabdham, other factors does count. There's nothing we can do about it. Better to recognize that. Prarabdham plus our modes of nature, sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. Due to strong cultivation, Krishna's grace, if one gets a glimpse of that knowledge of the soul, experience that, yoga sadhana, jnana kala, Krishna is saying, it is so powerful that you can't even compare that with any of the other processes, japam, dhyanam, tirthasnanam, or tapasya, austerities, none of them will do that. But again, the problem is that even when you get a glimpse of that jnana kala, if you get it, the chances are that due to our samskaram inside or our vasana inside, again we will go and look for artificial happiness in the world. Isn't it? That's the problem. Sometimes you may experience something about spiritual life from jnana kala you have experienced, but still you won't give up our inquiry in the world of happiness. The world of happiness. Because why do you do that? The reason is, it is a samskaram then. Isn't it? It's a habit, it has become. And even if you are feeling shanti inside, peaceful inside, still you will look for artificial happiness. You will see this yourself. Many times, by cultivation of spiritual knowledge, reading Bhagavad Gita, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and various ways, you experience some shanti inside. After all that, still your mind will go looking for some happiness in the world. This is that state Krishna is saying here. So, through yoga processes, any yoga processes, what you achieve in this world, everything is artificial. Everything is artificial. And sometimes people say, I had this vision, that vision and all that. Any vision that comes in the mind is artificial. Is artificial. Just like you watching the TV outside, this is a TV that is inside, switched on. That's all. So, just like the TV is artificial, isn't it? Everything is artificial in the TV. Similarly, this is also an artificial thing, what you are experiencing inside in your mind. No matter how great that darshanam is, sometimes people say that I had this vision in me, I had that vision. So many things people talk about it, those who are practicing spiritual life. So, but remember that Krishna is saying to us, all that is artificial. So, one thing that is not artificial is in this world, is there's only one thing, that is the soul. Soul is the only thing that is not artificial, Atma. That is why you will see in the Upanishads, Pariksha Lokan Karma Chitan, Nurveda Mayal Agrida Kridena. There is a verse in the, I think it is in that, Pariksha Lokan Karma Chitan, Nurveda Mayal Agrida Kridena, Tadvijanartham Sadguru Meva Abhigachet Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. It is in the, Tadvijnanartham, just a minute. Pariksha Lokan Karma Chidan Nurveda Mayal Agrita Kridena. Pariksha Lokan Karma Chidan Lokan Karma Chidan Brahmanam. Now understand this verse. Pariksha Lokan Karma Chidan Brahmanam. Brahmanas have done Pariksha, experiments with everything. And realizing this, what has he realized? He realized it. What did he realize? Karma chitan logan brahmano. Brahmana has realized karmam will not bring happiness. That is his realization. It's a big realization, isn't it? We are all living in this world thinking that karma will bring happiness, is it not? We are struggling to come out of it. Because we have so much faith in the karmam. That's our present problem. That we still thinking that karmam is the solution to all the problem. But here, Upanishad says here, Pariksha Lokan Karma Chidan, this is in the Mundaka Upanishad. Pariksha Lokan Karma Chidan Brahmanam. Brahmanam has done that, and then what happened to him? Nirvedamayan Asal Kradakradena Agradakradena. He realized that Nirvedam happens. Nirvedam means Vairagyam. Nirvedam means Vairagyam. Detachment has happened to him. He has realized it, all this karma is useless. He has come to that understanding within himself. That is a Brahmana's nature. Brahmana has come to understand that Pariksha Lokan Karma Chidan Brahmano Nirveda Mayal Agrita Kridena. When Nirvedam comes, Vairagyam comes, what he do? Agrita Kridena. Stop this. From Kridam, he came to the state of Agridam. Kridam means karma, doing action. He stops action. Then, tadvijnana artham, then he is inquiring about the truth. What does he do? Sa guru meva abhigachel. He goes to see the
Guru. But he has to come to that state first before he goes to see the Guru. Otherwise it won't happen. That is why sometimes people are very anxious to find a Guru, isn't it? But you may go to the Guru, but you won't understand anything. The Shastram you won't understand, because this stage is before that. Which one? Nirvedam. Agrada Kridena. All this has to happen first. I have to be so convinced within me that it is pointless to continue looking for happiness in this world, and karmam is not going to bring me any happiness. I have to become totally convinced on that. When that stage happens, then tad vijnana artham, then for the sake of self-realization, sa guru meva abhigachel, you should approach a spiritual master. That's what it says. You should. You should. Or Krishna's arrangement is such that if you are in that state, Krishna will come and drop a spiritual master in front of you. He will bring you that person whom you should be taking the instructions from. So that is the process. This is the process actually. That first, before we get to that stage, Nirvedam must happen. Nirvedam means free, that no desires anymore. Lost all interest in the world. Then you may ask, how will I live in this world? There's no answer to that. I can't answer that. Nobody can answer that question. That is a state of one's own realization. He has understood from this world, there is no happiness here. What we have talked about many times, there is no happiness here. And there is nothing this world can offer us in any way. And everything is distress finally here. So all that he has, realizing this, the seeker should abandon his desire and attachments for things, because everything is temporary here. And respectfully approach a teacher. Respectfully. That means Pariksha Logan Tadvijnyartam Sadgurumeva Abhigachet. But when he goes to see that spiritual master, how? Shamilpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. That is Mundaka Upanishad's instruction. These verses are very, very famous. This Pariksha Logan Karmachitan. Then it says Samitpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. When you go to see him, you should be so humble. Not telling him, look, I am very humble. Not like that. You have to, you carry Shamilpani. Shamilpani means kusha grass. You are holding kusha grass in the hand. That is an indication of humility. It's an indication of humility. And while seeing the spiritual master whom you are going to inquire after, you should be in that state. In that state, that's how you approach a spiritual master. Total humility inside. And when you approach a spiritual master, you are telling, first thing you are telling him, that I am very unhappy. I am in a miserable state. I don't know what to do. Is there any way to come out of this misery? And that is in the Viveka Chudamani. If you read, you will see how a disciple goes to a spiritual master and how a spiritual master instructs the disciple, telling him, there are so many verses there to talk about that. So, Samilpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. And you should not approach anyone and everyone as a guru. That is another warning given there. What is that? That guru must be Brahmanishtam. He should be fixed in that state of realization of Brahman. And Shrotriyam. He must have heard the Shastram in the same way from his spiritual master. And Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. That is his qualification. Spiritual master's qualification is Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. If you are not Shrotriyam, if you are not Brahmanishtam, then it will not have any effect. It will not have any effect. Okay, externally you can do something in the world, initiation ceremony and a new name and a mala and everything, all that is external things. But internally, these are all required for internal purity. Internal purification, this Krishna is only talking about the internal side of it. For internal side to happen, it should be, he should be Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. And the person who is going to see him should be Pariksha Lokan Karmachidan Brahmano Nirvedamayal Agradakradena Tad Vijnanatam Sadgurumeva Abhigachil Shamilpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. This is that famous verse presenting a spiritual master and the disciple properly, how that relationship happens. So otherwise it will remain as a artificial thing. So Vedam is already telling us, it's just like a review, it presents to us. So it says, you make anything you want, do anything you like in this world artificially, it will go. It will not stay. Artificially, if you do anything, it will not stay. it will go. That is what has happened many times. If you observe carefully, you will notice. Artificially, if you do something, it won't stay. It won't stay. Because it is artificial. That is why it is. For example, all your adjustment in this world for keeping your mind happy, or your happiness of the body, or any happiness what you get from outside, everything is artificial. Is it not? The happiness you get from the body, happiness you get from your mind, and the happiness what you extract from the world is all artificial. That's why it is going. Whereas this happiness that comes from the soul, that's what Krishna is saying here, it is not artificial. It is the genuine happiness where happiness really exists. That's only in the soul. So therefore, you know the word art. Art itself means artificial. Art itself is artificial. We don't think about it, do we? We think, when we say, somebody says, oh, he's an artist. Oh, we think, oh, he's an artist, they said. Actually, he's an artist. Why? Because it's artificial. It's not real. Real thing will not be like this. All artists are artificial. You know, musicians, they show their bhavam, their ragam, their musicians, I'm saying. Or the painters, or artificially they paint something and create an image in front of you. Everything, so all the artists are artificial. They are not real. The real thing is, Krishna is saying here, so art is really, we are thinking that it's a very divine thing, this art. Art is a very divine thing. So art exactly is only divine when it becomes spontaneous, when it comes spontaneous. So it becomes, see, when something is spontaneous in someone, when someone takes it away from that person. For example, Tyagaraja Swamiji was a great devotee and highly realized the soul. He sung so many kirtanam glorifying Ramachandra. He sung many, many, unlimited number of songs he sung about Ramachandra. All came from realization, not through artificially. But today people are singing the same songs. They are artists. Tyagaraja is not artist. He's not an artist. He was not doing for the artificially anything. It was coming from the source. This is the difference. Anything that comes from the source is not artificial. When it is imitated or emulated by someone else as something presented in front of others, like you can see in so many Kirtana Mela and all that, they become artists. They start saying, oh, he's a big artist. He's a Kirtaniya, we say. Oh, he's chanting so many hours, everything. But majority of the times, it is actually nothing but artistic. It is. It's very artistic, we say. What it means is, he's very artificial, in other words. It's not genuine. Genuine things come from the soul. That's the only place where something genuine can come. You cannot create it. If you have created something, it means it is meant to be destroyed one day. It cannot stay. This is the principle. Na sado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. That's all. Satis cannot be created. That story, you can see the depth of that verse. Anything in this life, what you think you have created, is meant for, it is not sat, it is asat. It is asat. It is meant to get destroyed one day. So that is what it is. So, so in Tyagaraja Swamiji's case, it was spontaneous, isn't it? Came from inside, from the Andaryami, it comes out. And if you look at some of the kirtanam, what Tyagaraja has written, very, very simple they are. Very simple. But when Tyagaraja sung that, the impact it had on Ramachandra is not there when it is sung by an artist. When the artist is singing, he is singing it and he is following everything very rigidly. It is defined what ragam it is, what talam it is. Everything is very clearly defined. And he is strictly doing everything, but result is not there. Why? This is the reason behind it. That if it becomes an art, it has lost, it has become artificial, in other words. So because
real thing can only come from the source, direct from the source. Therefore, and it is only for that moment. It's only for that moment, that real. That is why yada ya jnana kalaya krita. Kala is another word translated in English as artist. Art. Kala is art, isn't it? Kala is translated as art. So this jnana kala, the difference is, Krishna is saying here that at least at that moment it is real and it is genuine. So therefore Vedam is saying to us that it is not artificial, it is darshanam. Have you heard this word darshanam? It is darshanam and it is not art. All the rishis, they are telling us, that's why we call them darshanigam. Darshanigam means they have darshanam of that. Through darshanam it has come, not through art it has come. Not only Tyagaraja Swamiji, at the same time there was famous three personalities, Muthuswami, Dikshidhar, Shama Shastri. All three of them, they were in that state. One was a devotee of Shiva, one was a devotee of Ramachandra, other one was a devotee of Sri Parvati Devi. They wrote such realized state, they wrote, and they laid the foundation for Carnatic music later. But if you, many songs they wrote were very complex verses. Today people find it very difficult to understand them even, some of them. And particularly Shama Shastris and Muthuswami Dikshidhar. Tyagaraja Swamis were purely based on bhakti, so it's a lot easier. But Muthuswami Dikshidhar and Shama Shastris were very much based on the Mantra Shastram as well as the Yoga Shastram. Too complex they were. And still people haven't fully understood them. It appears like that, that they say about that. So rishis, when they perform something, it is darshanam, because it comes from the source, through the rishis. For artist, it doesn't come from the source, it's a performance then. You see? We say that, don't we? Oh, such and such artists have performed very well, the concert was very good. It's a performance, it's not darshanam. For the rishi, it is darshanam, for the artist, it is performance. Artist, it is performance. And they study the music very well, and they have memorized everything, the whole song very well, but in performance it is artificial. So that is called kritam. It comes a word here also. Nirvedamayal agrita kritena. Kritam is that, what you perform as a art. Kritam is mental, because you're using your mind to do it. So the mind, it manifests, isn't it? Spontaneous is not mind. Spontaneously, if something happens, it doesn't come from the mind. The word kritam in that, pariksha lokan karmajidan brahmano nirvedamayan agrita kritena. That kritam means that what is happened, what has happened. Kritam means what has happened through the mind. Agrita kritena. Nirvedamayal agrita kritena. So, a brahmana has no interest anymore in kritam. Kritam is not anymore interesting to him. So, that is, this spontaneous thing is just like the waves that come from the ocean. Waves that come from the ocean. And from our pure consciousness of the Swarupam, from our Swarupam, spontaneously it comes out. That is that jnana kala. This jnana kala Krishna has spoken here, it is something that spontaneously comes from our soul, from the soul. Not artistic, not an art it is. That we have to know. That what is this jnana kala means, as I said before, it is a glimpse that you have experienced, but it hasn't come from the mind, it has come from the soul direct. So this spiritual experiences and the mental visions, these two things, to separate them out properly, it's only possible when you have gone very far in spiritual life. People always get confused.
They may have some mental visions. And then they will wrongly identify that as though it is a spiritual realization. To know the difference between spiritual realization and mental visions is only possible when one has gone a very high level in spiritual life. What comes from the mind and what comes from the soul. We always get confused, isn't it? Suddenly we feel a little happiness in life. We start thinking that we are spiritually very advanced. That's why it is happening like that, isn't it? So much misunderstanding comes. That if we know this, that mental visions and spiritual experiences, when do you know where it's coming from? That requires a lot of advancement in spiritual life. Only at that stage you will know about that. Sometimes we think that all the mental visions as adhyatmam or spiritual. Sometimes we will misunderstand that. Spiritual thing or adhyatmam is that it is something similar to sparks coming from a fire. Sparks coming from a fire. These mental visions are not like that. There is a, this is the way only it can be explained like that. Mental visions cannot be explained in a similar way. Spiritual experiences is like a spark that comes from a big fire. How it comes so spontaneously, it comes. Similarly, from the spark that comes from the soul, consciousness, that is how spiritual visions are. Spiritual experiences are. Mental visions are, it comes from the mind. And to know that it is not from the mind, or it, whether it's coming from the mind, or it's coming from the soul, that realization, it will take time. It will take time. You can see that in these verses, Krishna is saying that. You will take notice of that. Jnana vijnana samsiddham padam shreshtam vidur mama jnani priyatamo tomi jnani naso bhivartimam tapastirtam jabodhanam pavitra nitaranicham nalam kurvandidam siddhim ya jnana kalaya kritam tasmal jnanena sahidam Yatva swalpanam uddhavam Jnana vijnana sambanno bhajamam bhakti bhavidaha Jnana vijnana yajnena mamishtvalpanam alpani sarvam yajnavadim mam vai samsiddhim munayo agaman. So here Krishna is saying tasmal jnanena sahidam yatva swalpanam uddhavam Jnana vijnana sambannam bhakti bhajamam bhakti bhavidaha. So, after saying all these things, Krishna says to Uddhava, this is all fine, whatever I have spoken, but take notice of this, he says. Jnana vijnana yogena mamishtvalpanam alpani sarvayajnavadim mam vai samsiddhim Munayo Agaman. These are the verses which Krishna has spoken to Uddhava in the beginning. And finally he concludes with this one verse, which we discussed, I think, if I remember last time. Which one? To Uddhava Ashrayayati Yastravitho Vikaryo Mayandar Abadadinad Abavargayor Yad Janmadayo Sayadami Tavatasya Kimsyu Adyandayor Yadasadosti Tadeva Madhyem. That verse. That is the whole essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. That verse. You may say, I am always saying this verse is essence, that verse is there. You may think, why I am saying like this? Is there, every verse I am saying is the essence of the Bhagavatam. I can't help, because the reason is, when you understand a little bit more about these verses, you will know they are all saying the same thing. But they are all saying the same thing. Ultimately, what is the subject we are discussing? Soul. That's the topic of discussion, isn't it? In various ways, Krishna is talking about the same thing. But because it's not getting in, he has to keep saying in different ways. That's all what he is doing there. Message is very simple. I'm not the body, your spirit, soul. That's all. If I get that, then I don't need all these things. But I'm not getting it. So what does Krishna has done? Krishna has spoken in so many different ways the same thing. So, vastu is the same, but it is repeated in different ways. And one who is listening is thinking, oh,
Earlier he said that verse is the important verse. Now he's saying this is the most important verse. And sometimes, well, something else is important. So which is the important? You will say that same question. So that's the same thing. So tasma, hey Uddhava, he says, jnana vijnana sambannaha, that jnana vijnana yajnana mamishtvalpana malpani. So here, tasmad he udhava jnana vijnana sambandham, he mentioned before that also in the first, isn't it? Here also he says, jnana vijnana samsiddha, he uses the word. Jnana vijnana samsiddham. So this is an indication to show, tell us, what does bhakti means in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What does exactly? Bhakti means Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, after hearing from the spiritual master about the science of the soul, and after hearing that vidya, what is that called? Brahma vidya, isn't it? Brahma vidya or Atma vidya. All these different names, vastu is the same. Atma vidya or Brahma vidya. So at that time it is jnanam. At that stage it is jnanam. It's called jnanam, isn't it? After you have done your mananam, if you have reflected on that properly, and if it has become yours, it is called vijnanam. It's called vijnanam, isn't it? So he is saying here, jnana vijnana samsiddham. So you have heard it, and you have properly scrutinized it, analyzed it very well, and you have made it your own. You have made it your own. It has become yours at that time. After that, in vyavaharam, when you have to do vyavaharam in this world, this realization what you have received inside, the truth, without forgetting that, seeing everything what is happening is also as a manifestation of that truth. That means when vyavaharam is going on, you have not forgotten the truth. Truth remains still strongly inside. And you are able to conduct your vyavaharam without being disturbed by anything. And that, because the knowledge is still working inside. How does the vyavaharam disturbs you? Because in vyavaharam four things happen actually. Ryagam, dvesham, kartrutva, bhoktrutvam. So when you are able to execute your vyavaharam, you know what it means, our transactions in this world. If you can do that without ryagam, dvesham, without kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, if you are able to do that, then you can say like that your knowledge, what you have received inside, what you have realized inside, is working. Is working. That's where the testing department or test place is in vyavaharam. Not in the knowledge what you have acquired. Jnanam what you have acquired is fine. And you have also done a lot of mananam and made it your own. Jnanam, it has become. But real test is in vyavaharam, isn't it? In vyavaharam, how much you are is realized. That is where the test is, not otherwise. Not otherwise. That's what Krishna says. Jnana vijnana sambhannam padam shrestam jnanam priyadamodvami jnane naso bhivartimam. Krishna says, because vyavaharam has got these four problems: ragadvesham, kartratva, bhoktratvam. If they are not coming, developing in vyavaharam, then you can say vyavaharam will go on. What will the result will be? Don't look into the result of the vyavaharam. That is not important in spiritual life. The result of your vyavaharam has no meaning in spiritual life. In spiritual life, what is important is, when you are conducting your vyavaharam, has that created any of these four things? Ragadvesham, kartratva, bhoktratvam. If it is not created, then that jnana vijnanam is perfect. You have reached that state. Jnana vijnanam has perfect state. And Krishna says, if you are able to live like that, that is bhakti, Krishna is saying here. See that verse? This is how Krishna calls bhakti. Krishna says, tasma jnanena sahidam jnatva svalpanam uddhava jnana vijnana sambanno bhajamam bhakti bhavidaha. If with all these things you are living in this world, you are executing bhakti then. You see how Krishna defines bhakti? Tasma jnanena sahidam jnatva svalpanam uddhava jnana vijnana sambanno bhajamam bhakti bhavida. So you have executed jnanam, jnanam has come, and jnatva svalpanam uddhava, you have realized your identity as the spirit soul, and then you are fully rich with that jnanam and vijnanam inside, and you have entered into vyavaharam, and even if you do vyavaharam, it is bhakti then. That vyavaharam is bhakti.
In that state, if you execute vyavaharam, it is not vyavaharam anymore, it is bhakti, Krishna says. Tasmal jnanena sahidam jnatva svalpanam uddhava jnanam vijnana sambannam bhajamam bhakti bhavidaha. Bhakti bhavidaha. So you can see where jnanam and bhakti joins together. Isn't it? Then you cannot say he is a jnani or he is a devotee. He is everything then. He is everything at that stage. His devotion is perfect, his jnanam is perfect, because he has reached perfection in life. Sadhana bhakti is not even discussed anywhere. It's no relevance to it. Because this is such a very higher topic. You are talking about one who has freed himself from the grip of the body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything. And he has advanced on the path of knowledge, jnanam, vijnanam, everything has happened to him. He has done proper mananam and he has realized his identity as the Atmanam Uddhava. He is in the platform of the soul. And then he is fully rich with the jnana vijnana sambannaha. He is. And then he says, then what he does is bhajamam bhakti bhavida. Then he is executing bhakti. Whatever he does after that is bhakti. Whatever he does after that is bhakti. So that is the importance of these words. To show to us, jnanam and bhakti is not separate. Jnanam and bhakti is not, you can't separate them out because it won't make any sense. It won't make any sense at all. In the Bhagavatam, you will see later on when we come to the remaining chapters, you will see the same thing. So, so such a person, that what will happen to him, it is at that time that realization comes. Which one? Sarvabhudeshaya pashet bhagavad bhavam almana. That is all nothing but the same state. Krishna is explaining in a different way. Sarvabhudeshaya pashet bhagavad bhavam almana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. The first class devotee. Remember that in the second chapter, Hari Maharshi said, who is the first class devotee? That's him. That's him. And that is his nature at that time. So he is seeing Krishna's presence in everything. And in order to do that, first thing is, you have to always not to give attention to somebody's swabhavam. Remember, we discussed this before. Swarupam and swabhavam are two different things. We are all same in swarupam. We are all different in swabhavam. So, a person who has reached this stage, he will not look into anyone's swabhavam. What he sees in him is his swarupam. That is the difference. So, little by little, practice is good, even in our own life, not to look into swabhavam too much, but rather look into the swarupam. I know it is difficult, it is not going to happen overnight, but these are little tips Krishna is telling us in the sadhana stage, what one could do. That if you keep on looking at everyone's swabhavam, you will have only time to criticize the whole world. Isn't it? So that's what swabhavam does. Many, Raghunath Das Prabhupada used to say, it's very nice way Prabhupada put it. He said, Raghunath Dasa Goswami will never find any fault with anyone, he says. That was him. Raghunath Das Goswami. You know, he came from a very wealthy family. And after he joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he stayed in Radhakund for a long time. And not once, in one occasion, he has not found fault with anyone. Prabhupada says, I am not like that, he said. He also said that. He says, I am not like that, I will find fault with everyone, he said. In a joking way, he said, I am not Raghunath Das Goswami, he said. Because if I am Raghunath Das Goswami, I won't get the job done here. With you lot around me. So it's just the right reality of life. It's not that he was doing it deliberately to find fault. He has to find fault, he said. I have disciples, I have to tell them what's wrong, what's going wrong. It's my duty, I have to do that. So I have to criticize people. He has criticized everybody, isn't it? Nobody has left behind. So and then he says this, Raghunath Das Goswami never found fault with anyone, he said. So that is that, of course, in realized state, that is what it is, what will happen to a person. Raghunath Das Goswami is the ideal personality for that aspect of it, that not to find. Because why? He's not looking at the swabhavam anymore, he's looking at the swarupam of a person. And that is necessary in life. Those who don't have to take that kind of responsibility of preaching and other things, then this is the better process. This sadhana is a better thing to do. That within ourselves, we change the situation. Sarupa darshanam and So long as you have Svabhava Darshanam, you will never have Swarupa Darshanam. That's also important. So long you have Svabhava Darshanam. What we are saying is the Svabhavam, isn't it, in a person. As long as you have Svabhava Darshanam, Swarupa Darshanam won't be there. Swarupa Darshanam won't be there. So because you can see, when you see people, one person's Svabhavam and another person's Svabhavam, they are different. It cannot be together, isn't it? Everybody has a different Svabhavam in them. You know what I am saying? Svabhavam wise, every one of us are different. And it is a big problem because of this difference in the... So that's why we don't get along very well, each other, isn't it? A little closer, this problem. So this Svabhavam, difference in the Svabhavam causes that problem. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see, therefore, you know what Bhagavatam says, the solution for that? You look into Bhagavatam, let me show you that verse, what Bhagavatam says about that. If you go back into Ekadasha Skandam, Dvayo Artha Bhave Dvabhim, it is in the third or fourth chapter. Krishna is saying there, Yadu Maharaj, Yadu, King Yadu, and the Dattatreya Maharshi is having a discussion. So in that discussion, ninth chapter, if you look into the verse 10 in the 11th canto, what does Brahmana Uvacha, Brahmana is saying this, the solution to the problem. Because of this problem of the Svabhava Darshanam instead of Swarupa Darshanam, he is saying what you should do. Vase bahunam kalaho bhaved varta dvayorapi eka eva charel tasmat kumarya ivakanganaha. That is the answer to that. Vase bahunam kalaho, if a lot of people join together, there will be definitely politics inside. Arguments, quarrel, playing games, in other words, will be there. You can't help it. You may think that all these big mutts and ashrams, there is no politics there. There is a lot of politics, sometimes even more than the Westminster going on there. The politics goes on there. And you are thinking that, oh, all they're all big men, big realized souls. No. That's not, nothing is guaranteed in this world. Everywhere it's going on. That so, but he say, if you look at the words carefully, Bhave Edvartha Dvayorabi, suppose there's not a big group of people, there's only two, imagine. Then what will happen? They'll always talk to each other. Simply, you'll be talking. Some nonsense you'll talk to each other. There won't be big politics because only two there. They have to survive, so you'll somehow survive together. Therefore, the real solution, he says, Eka Meva Charel Tasmat Kumarya Iva Kangana. Alone. Do everything on your own. Don't depend on anyone for anything. Execute your spiritual life on your own. You can't get a better instruction than this. Depending on others, thinking that we'll all do it together, we will all manage it together, it's not going to work. Eka eva charet. Ekam eva charet. Live alone in this world. Carry on alone always. That is when spiritual life is possible. And that example is that girls, you know, Kumariya Iva Kangana, the bangles in the hand. You know that story. Dattatreya Maharshi was walking around and he has 24 spiritual masters, and this Kumari is one of the spiritual masters. So he reached a place, he sat down there in front of a house, and he heard the sound from inside the house. Somebody was pounding the grain to get the husk out. One girl was pounding, and the noise he could hear from outside. So he kept looking at the house, what's going on in this house. The girl is doing this job. So meanwhile, a group of people came there to the house, and they have come to inquire about arranging a marriage between this girl and the bridegroom's family members. They have come to discuss about the marriage arrangement, something like that. So at the time when they came, the girl's parents, they were not at home. They have gone away somewhere. Some business, they were away. They were not at home.
Only these days now we fix appointment and go visit people, isn't it? Them days there was no mobile. Or you just go. If he's there, he's there. If even postal system didn't exist, it seems, at time of Dattatreya's time. Postal system, so you can't even write a letter that time. Just people went there to visit someone. If they are there, you will meet them. If not there, you will say, if you come from a long way, you will say, I'll stay for so many hours or a day if necessary, 1 or 2 days. Sometimes people used to stay waiting for others to come back. Life was much slower, in other words. It's a better life than today. Today, if you ring up, the person is not there. The next thing, what time will he be there? The next question you're asking. And if he's not there at that time, you get upset. Oh, I came all the way, he's not there. You told me that he'll be there. So things like that all develops into everything like a machine. It is streamlined and structured in that way. So that's a different life. So here what happened was this bridegroom's parents, they came and they wanted to discuss the marriage affair of the girl with her parents. So that's why they came. So when they arrived there, they were not there. So the girl sensed that they have come from the bridegroom's family. They have come. And she was very intelligent. She thought that when she was pounding the grains, she had a lot of bangles on both the hands. And they were creating a lot of noise, this bangles noise. And that was very much known to people. And people will think that I am doing all the work in the house. There's nobody to help me and I have to do all the work. And they will think that these people are not very well-to-do enough to you know how the society people think. So, and they may carry some misunderstanding, thinking that she removed all the bangles from the hand. Only 2 bangles were left in each hand. And then she continued pounding again. Again she thought, even when 2 bangles are there, it's making a noise. So she took one from both hands. And each hand had only 1 bangle. And she continued pounding that. So from this, the Dattatreya Maharshi was not bothered about her marriage, who came, who gone. What have I got to learn from this? And the Dattatreya Maharshi says there, I learned a very important lesson in my life, he says. What is that? Egam eva charet bhikshu. If I want to realize the self, I have to be on my own. I can't have all these things with me, all others with me. He says there, egam eva charet. Ekam eva charet. Do it on your own. Do it on your own. Go alone. That is the message. Go alone. That is the way to cultivate spiritual life. Otherwise, it is difficult. You can't imagine that in a mob, you can go on for a long time with the mob. You will get a lot of pleasure from the mob together. But after a while, you will get tired. What is this? What am I getting from this? That will come to you eventually. You may say that with the mob I have done this, I have done that. I don't know what to say, mob or a crowd or whatever you call it. You'll keep on doing that, but nothing is happening in spiritual life. Spiritual advancement is egam eva charet bhikshu kumarya eva kangana. So that is what the answer Bhagavadam is giving to us. That if you want to free yourself from the svabhava darshanam and come to swaroopa darshanam, the easiest way is even 2 people are not good. Vaso bahunam kalaha. If there is few people, there will be argument. If there is 2 people, you will talk to each other. What will you talk to each other? You will talk about third person. If 2 people get together, the topic of discussion will be a third person, isn't it? Somebody both of you know. Oh, he did this, he did that. He's like this, he's like that. So, and there will be Maya. Maya will be present there. So here, Krishna says here that so in order to see somebody in someone, Krishna's presence inside, as long as we have vasana inside, it is not possible. As long as we have vasana inside, it is not possible. Because we will utilize, our vasana will be such, we will utilize it for our selfishness. And then we will say, I am seeing him, Krishna in him. We'll say to others, I am seeing Krishna in him, and I'll use him for my selfishness. I'll use him for that purpose. So that is what normally happens. Sometimes people say, They will approach some realized personalities or some great devotees or some jnanis, whatever it is, and they'll say, oh, I am seeing him in Bhagwan in him. You're not seeing any Bhagwan in him. You're just bluffing that. And then see how you can use him for your own spirit, in your own benefits. You do like that. So what you have to remember here is, if you have really started seeing Krishna's presence in anyone, you can't use him anymore for vyavaharam. In vyavaharam, you can't use him anymore. This is the principle. Do you see that subtlety of that? If you are genuine, you see, many instances, because we are not ready for it, and our crooked mind and vasana inside will come out in some form, and we are searching, is there somewhere some realized personality? And we'll go there and use this vasanas on that person, and we'll be disappointed later. So generally, you self-realized souls, if you are seeing Krishna's presence in that person, then if you are genuinely seeing that, you cannot use him for any of your vyavaharam in life. Vyavaharam in life. That is the principle behind it. Because there is no one in this world who is free from the, except the realized soul, who is free from the defects, free from the defects of prakriti. Material nature. Nobody is there in this world. So, so without seeing that, that prakriti properly, if you say, Vishwam ekalpakam pashyan prakritya purushena cha. Do you remember these words in the Bhagavatam? Very important words, like so many other important verses. If you remember, if you look into the chapter 28, chapter 28 or 29, 28, the first verse Krishna is saying to us. What he says to us? Krishna is saying, Paraswabhava karmani na prashamsay na garhayet. Vishwam ekalpakam pashyan prakritya purushena cha. This is at the close of Ekadasha Skandam. Remember that. So he has got something to say to Uddhava. Uddhava, if you are still seeing problems in people, in their prakriti, then Vishwam ekalpakam pashyan is not possible. It's not possible. Paraswabhava karmani na prashamsayet na garhayet Vishwam ekalpakam pashyan prakritya purushena cha. In one, you see how Krishna put the whole thing in two lines. Paraswabhava karmani na prashamsayet na garhayet. Krishna's instruction is, if you want to progress on the spiritual path, when you see someone, don't praise him and don't criticize him. Neither. Both are bad. Praising someone is equally bad as criticizing someone. There is no need for that. Both are going to cause problems. Paras swabhava karma, his swabhavam and his karmam. Karmam comes from the swabhavam, of course. Karmam is fructified swabhavam, is karmam. Paraswabhava karmani na prashamsayet na garhayet. You don't have to praise that karmam or swabhavam, or you don't have to criticize that karmam or swabhavam. Why? Vishwam ekalpakam pashyan. Vishwam is made of one material. Ekalpakam. One thing, that is pashyan. Prakritya purushena cha. And if you break it up, Sankhyam says one is prakriti, other one is Purusha. Purusha has no change, Prakriti is always changing. So it is the Prakriti, Swabhavam and Karmam is Prakriti. Purusha is the soul. Purusha is the soul. In soul there is no criticism, there is no praise, there is no praising or criticism, nothing exists. In Prakriti, praising, criticism exist. Isn't it? You praise somebody in prakriti. That is prakriti, that is. Suppose you are praising someone, it is your prakriti. Some people have that. They will glorify everyone to such a degree and make that person to fall. Till he falls, he'll pray. I've seen that many times happening with people. Sometimes they'll praise some people to such level and they'll create an impression, and they are so good at it, and create a feeling in everyone that person is very special. And then suddenly one day he falls from his so-called position. That is why you have to be very careful about this guru's position and all that. These disciples will do all this to you if you go in that direction. They will create this problem. They will say to everybody, my guru is like this, my guru is like that. There is an effulgence coming from his head. Or when he sings, it is so transcendental. Or he lot of things they will attribute to the guru and make it such a, and others also, you say, oh, I'm not seeing anything. He must be seeing something what I'm not seeing. Like this, you start doubting. But if you keep on their company for some time, you will also start seeing the same way. That is the funniest thing of it. It is just association only, nothing else. That person, guru, whom you were talking about, he hasn't done anything to you. But these people around him, they have put all these things on him. And everybody start telling, oh, my Guru Maharaj, you should see him, you know, what he is like. He doesn't sleep at night. Then you also start telling everybody, he doesn't sleep at night. And then 10 people start saying, he doesn't sleep at night. Oh, he must be somewhat special. Then he says, he eats so little. Hardly he eats. There was one guru, I'll tell you, this happened in our own society. That's what I'm saying. He was, he's no more now. He was, everybody was telling me that he doesn't eat or he doesn't sleep. And when I looked at him, his waistline was so thin like this. He was so thin. And everybody was saying, he doesn't sleep at night, he doesn't sleep at night, he doesn't eat anything. And I was also thinking, so he must be very advanced a person, that you had such great personalities in our movement, thinking like that. Then what did I hear later? He was constantly on drugs. The man was taking so much drugs, he couldn't eat anything and he couldn't sleep at night. And he left this world later. So I'm just saying that how easy it is to mislead others if you start this. That all you have to do is to release a few words like this. So he's like this, he's like that. And then somebody was telling me there was an effulgence in someone else's face. It's coming out. And he was fully convinced there is an effulgence. If you nicely shave up, clean shave, and you take bath and fresh, everybody will have a little effulgence, isn't it? Nobody is free from that effulgence. Effulgence goes away because we cover ourselves with all other things. Suppose you are nicely shaved up, all your head and the beard, everything, and you put a nice silicone, and you are not too much involved in the world, in Vyavaharam, you are not too much anxiety inside, and the mind is peaceful, there is tend to be some effulgence on your face. Everybody will get it. So, but seeing that, some people started saying that there is an effulgence on that man's face. And he also, after a few weeks, he left. The man with the effulgence also. All these were nice experiences to hear that it's all bogus. All these things are bogus. It has nothing to do with the reality. Krishna is saying, Parasubhava karmani na prashamsaye na garhayet vishwam ekalmagam pashyen prakritya purushena cha. Externally, don't look at people and make judgments. It has no meaning. What is inside that realization the person has, it makes sense. And that realization has to be in line with what Krishna has spoken in the Shastram. What is that? Parasubhava karmani. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami's case, Prabhupada mentions that. He would not criticize anybody under any circumstances. Why is that? Vishwamekalmagam pashyan. There is only one substance here. Not to look into anyone's subhavam and to say anything. Itself he says, what will happen? That person will fall. The next words, if you look, Parasubhava karmani ya prashamsadi nindati sa ashubrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. At least those two verses you must memorize. They are important. Parasubhava karmani na prashamsaye na garhayet vishwamegalmagam pashyan prakritya purushena cha. Parasubhava karmani ya prashamsadi nindati sa ashubrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. He is in asatyam. He is not in the truthful state, Krishna is saying. Asatyam abhiniveshada. Therefore, he is not in the realized state. He is still seeing prakriti. He is still in the control, grip of prakriti. Only one who is freed from the grip of prakriti will be able to stay, not to talk about prakriti. Prakriti is svabhavam. Only if your svabhavam is free from that, you will be able not to talk about prakriti, only fixed in the platform of the soul. So I think we will stop today here. It is 11:35, I think. So all glories to Srila Prabhupada.